Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Endless Babble Z episode 414. I'm Chris Evans, Ticket Master, joined by
RPG Maniac 05.
And Trioptical.
So we've got some Witchman Plan, some Should Tech and Play Anthem, some maybe RRR, and the news. So, you know, Witchman Plan. I've been playing a lot thanks to the fan appreciation events. Monster Hunter World. I gotta say, it's great to be back. You know, it's been a year, rarely a year after launch do I stay with the game and like just keep coming back to it, man. Exclusive club. Very few titles on that list. I mean, unless like your old game, and I went back and play it because at the time I was playing something else, and like, you know, backlog, just, you know, skin fell up, blah, blah. But longevity is what I'm getting at, and Monster Hunter World has got it, man, because stuff to do, things to do, skills to get, and stuff, crafting, gear, loot, monsters, fun times.
Wow. Try complete sentences.
Whatever. So, yeah, fan appreciation event happened, and I got all the gear that was event specific, except for the New Year's Day thingy. That was like a one day event that didn't come back, and it's like a really weird quest for like it's a one hit kill against Moss Vine. So eventually, if it comes back.
Oh, that thing! I was wondering about that because I didn't do it. I only like heard about it because I was like at work, and then I was tired afterwards because I was at work until like yesterday. So I was like, oh my gosh. But I heard it was super hilarious.
But yeah, besides that, I basically just need Extreme Behemoth and all the Arch-Tempered Elder Dragons, except for Valhazak, because I can kill him super easily. And like all their layered armors. And yeah, that's like, you know, eventually down the line, because that's where I'm at now. It's like getting to it, because I'm back after having the in-game wall just smack me in the face and be like, you're done, Tekken. You have nothing more to do. Go do other things and have fun. There's nothing more for you here. You don't need any of this. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, voice in the head. You're right. I don't need this stuff. I'm out. Peace out, Monster Hunter.
Like, oh, my goodness. The voice in your head sounds very aggressive.
Wait, is Behemoth always available?
It's optional. So. Yeah. Yeah, Normal Behemoth is always available because it's an optional quest, I believe.
Oh. Extreme, I don't I think is Extreme only is not, event.
Yeah. Okay. And then the tree thing we were fighting, is that just limited time also?
The regular version is available, but the ancient version is not. It's also limited time.
Interesting.
Because this one, they just extended it. Because it was supposed to be like until the end of the appreciation event, but they extended it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm checking right now, and Behemoth is an optional quest once you get it to your thingy. So yeah, it's always there. Like I said on Twitter earlier. That was on Twitter, I think.
He was telling their Twitters.
Yeah, it was a great success. I got my sweet fancy suit, and I'm looking all schnazzy, and then, you know, got my Palico, that weird disco ball helmet thing and stuff, and all the other event stuff I didn't have for my Palico that makes him look weird and cool and cute and adorable. And, yeah. And I even looked up some, or was on YouTube looking up guide videos, which is what I don't usually do, because I was like, dude, I need a long range weapon, some sort of assistance, because I just have been doing longsword for over 1,000 quests, and I have no idea where to begin. And I was like, what do I do? And I stumbled on some channel, and I was like, oh man, you're my new favorite, you random person here talking in this weird accent. And yeah, you're my new go-to. So I was doing that, and I was like, oh, that's how Bogun works. Oh, okay, light Bogun, heavy Bogun, just gotta. And then since I got over the hump with Lunestra, I was finally able to make some of that sweet armor and gear and stuff. And then, let's see, besides that, Lunestra stuff. And then I also made some weapons like swords and bow guns because she has some really good stuff to combine with the Xenogeva stuff. If But my Synergiva stuff is kind of like random looks. I made a bunch of stuff with my other stuff. So it's like I kind of need to, every time that's up, Synergiva, I need to go, or the, when it appears randomly, then you can just do it anytime. And just like, I feel like I kind of have to do it. I'm like, oh yeah, time to get some more materials.
I've actually never done Synergiva beyond the story one. Oh, wait, no, I did it one more time out there because I need to get materials for my weapons. But yeah, I actually never like ever do the oh, I'm popping up now quest people. So
yeah, I did do Zori Magdaros ever. So I mean, I think I used to like back in the day. And then I was like, oh, this is kind of crappy gear. Yeah.
Well, it was good for the time that you had it available.
Yeah,
so
it was. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, is just getting some sweet builds made. I got this really good build for a longsword where it's like high DPS, high affinity, and like high sharpness. Ugh, delicious. And then working on my bowguns and trying to get good with bowguns. Oh, yeah, I did that. I started basically going through all the high rank quests that are optional. So I did Great Jagras and I did Puge Puge. Like every time I have like any spare time before I go to bed, I'm like, okay, let's do one more. Let's do one more and see if I can get better at bowgun. So that's the two bottom most monsters. I'm on my way though. Cause I'm through the first two. They're super easy. Once I get to Angeneth, I'll know I'm ready. Cause Angeneth can be you know, for a beginner anyway, challenging. If you're, no, I'm not doing low ranks. I'm just doing high ranks. So it's like, yeah, I just gotta get there eventually and I'll be good to go. Because learning is like whatever once you're high enough.
Yeah, I made a bowgun set a while back, and also a couple of bowguns just in case, because you never know, they might release something where it's like, oh, you should have had a long range set, but you don't, and then you know that would be bad. So I made one, so I have one just in case.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing bow and arrow, but I was like, I saw that person's video and they were doing bowgun and it looked so easy. I was like, dude, looking at this, this makes it look magically look like a third person shooter. I'm like, I need to get up on this. And I was like, yeah, how do I get this to get like super easy, awesome build going? And I was like, oh, okay. And then, yeah, just and here I am, just trying it out every monster low rank one at a time, or high rank one at a time. So, bam, I was running around. Oh, also, Ancient Legend. Whew, man, Witcher. Whew, that was a fun ride, I gotta say. Like, it was a good balance of, like, challenging, but not too hard. And just, man, I gotta say, just, it made me believe in randoms again, at least at Monster Nerd, because I was like, at least in a certain time, like I said, like, you know, once you're past 3 a.m., should be fine. Once all the, I don't know. I don't know. I guess I shouldn't like be down on like the American players, but I don't know. What can I say? I played too much Destiny to like not be jaded by, maybe it's just a 12-year-old play and that just doesn't need to be in my game and I can't tell. So, and like the things they do and it's like, why are you doing this? Wait, where are your flash pods? Oh no. And then, or like 30 seconds in, wiped, or 30 seconds in, fainted. It's like, what's going on? What? And then I just remind myself, this game's rated T, Tekken. It's rated T. It could be anybody.
In my defense, it could be a child. I haven't played in a long time.
We know this. But yeah, also, me RPG tried to clone Dagger Flayed and did not go well on Behemoth or Leshen, or Ancient Leshen rather. So,
everything you said applies to me, except for the 30-second feint. I know that I'm not good, so I play very cautiously. Like that was mostly what I did in those games that we played. I think for the most part, I just blocked until someone was able to knock the monster down. And then I would be like, okay, now I open up and like cheat all my stuff and like do my ultimate combo. And then, oh, it's back up. Run away. So, yes.
I mean, that's a safe way to go. The problem is with the things we were fighting though is that strategy may not necessarily work all the time because yeah,
some of the stuff like you can't block birds. I guess they didn't really think that birds would be an issue when they made these shields, and now it's like, oh shoot, there's things from other worlds and their birds are deadly.
Blind spots.
The thing with the tornadoes.
Although technically they're our
crows.
They're our crows, yeah. It's just that he like legend them or whatever.
Our crows don't like attack. They were brainwashed.
A gasp.
And you can't fight. You can't, like, kill the crows.
I wish you could. I wish you could.
Yeah, no, the other one with tornadoes, like, it was really hard to tell where the tornado was forming. So sometimes it would look like, oh, it's forming in front of me. And I would jump back, and then the tornado would be, I would be inside of it. I was like,
that, well, it's too late.
It didn't seem like that's where it was. So, yeah, those attacks were kind of, it made things difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did well, to say the least.
We killed three monsters at once. We at least accomplished that.
Hey, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
We did that one. That
sounds, we also killed Kieran too. So, I mean, we did do that.
Yeah, so, I could not remember, you know, what anything meant.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, purple.
Oh, yes, yeah, so, and then Tropical apparently just found out that the stronger versions of them have auras. That's a fine thing to find out late in the game, because it's like, yeah, oh, Tropical, no.
It was also funny because he's like, wait, how do you run? It's like, oh dear.
Well,
yes, I could.
This
not
is gonna go well.
Battle is about to go badly.
Like, these are the questions you want to ask before you start attacking the giant hell beast that wants to murder us.
Yeah, once, like, with the controller in my hand and looking at it, I could remember, okay, I remember holding down this button a lot and then pushing this button. And so I could do the, like, block and stab thing. I was like, okay, I remember how to do this. Like, now, what if I want to move quickly? Okay, you so I remember don't. How to put my weapon away, I think. But how do I move quickly after that? And, yeah, it was just like, I relearned the entire game and then realized that, wow, I never accomplished my mission of making all those weapons. And so every time I pop into the camp, the fort, it tells me, it's like, oh, you have these materials ready for this thing and this thing. And this is like, well, I had a lot of things tracked.
Your wish list.
Yeah. It's like, oh, God, I don't remember. Was I tracking this one to make it in and then like upgrade it into something else, or, and I didn't want to deal with it while we were all, like, in a party, so I was like, I don't know, I'll just go with the stuff that I have, look at the one that has the highest attack, and then yeah, just wing it. Don't remember any of the armor sets that I own, except for the one that I was wearing. It's like, okay, this is the one that is that goes with the sword and shield, because I actually saved a loadout. Everything else, like, I don't know.
Jeez.
Fun. And we got a Kieran, so that's pretty good.
Sigh. Although I did end up beating the Ancient Legend with, like, a group of randoms, like, right after that. So that worked out, I guess.
Yeah, I did too. I was like, this is weird. Also, like, Behemoth too, because I was like, this seems like it's way harder than it should be, and then I was just randoming it, and I was like, and then, yeah, no problem, and I was like, I didn't care about this. That was way too easy. And then,
maybe it's just because we were all too rusty from playing different stuff before we decided to go back to this game, and it's like, no, it's fine, let's tackle the hardest monsters instead of, you know, warming ourselves up and getting back to the controls. We're like, no, it's cool, guys. Let's take on the hardest stuff.
My assumption was that I just wasn't like doing any damage. Because I was like, I'm pretty sure Tekken is doing a lot of damage. And RPG and Dagger, they know how to play this game. So they should be doing a lot of damage. But since I'm not really attacking that much, and even if I was, like, oh, Dagger mentioned at one point, she was saying how she hated knowing how much health the tree had, because she was looking at her damage numbers in the, like, 70s or something, and I was looking at mine, it's like, every time I hit it, it's like 20 or 19. I just shouldn't bother. I'll wait for my opportunity to, like, unleash everything, but for the most part, yeah, I'm just gonna like wait to do flash pods and try not to die. And that's mostly what I did, except that I forgot how to use flash pods. So I couldn't actually do that until like a later try.
It escalated. It all escalated.
I don't know if you probably don't remember, but it was like there was one time where someone was trapped, and then you would have seen two flash pods. One was significantly later than the other. That was
mine. Just remembered, guys. I just remembered. Thanks. Thanks, Tropical. Thanks. Thanks.
So, yeah. It was fun.
Thanks, Tropical. Thanks for your contribution to the fight.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Although I have my damage numbers turned off, though, so I never know what's going on. I just go in and start murdering stuff. So, yeah. I turned it off, like, I think after, like, the second or third quest when I first got Monster Hunter. I was like, yeah, I don't see how this is going to do any good for me. So, yeah, got rid of them.
I guess for me, I wouldn't know if I was hitting the right places without those numbers. Because I have like far less experience with the series. I know when my weapon bounces off, that's bad.
Yes, it is.
But yes, other than that, it's like, well, this place isn't bouncing, so is this the best place? Or is this just the convenient place that I can hit without too much effort?
No, well, for me, it's just a like a positive feedback loop from like Garrison's Borderlands of like, I need to see numbers flying off the things I'm hitting, and just like it makes it feel like that much more just that feedback loop of like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, just keep going, keep going.
Yeah, I just don't want to know. Because then it's like, if you start thinking about it, because like with the whole,
I mean, I never like, think about it. Just, like, just seeing just it, like, oh. And then like when I see like the triple digits, I'm like, oh yeah, massive damage. Oh yeah, take that monster or whatever.
If it's still alive, then that means it's not dead yet. So I just keep going until it does die. That's how that goes. That's how that goes.
So yeah, besides Monster Hunter, let's see, what else did I play? Oh, wow, I just realized I played something new. I'm like, I haven't played anything new, but then I did, and I got through it. So, yeah, that was, so basically, what the thing I'm currently doing, because I was going to get Anthem, but then I didn't get Anthem, and I was like, back and forth, Anthem, not Anthem, and then ultimately I decided against it, because, you know, just not a good idea. Good. And then, yeah. And I was like, well, I got time to play stuff now, because I'm not cracking out on another Games as a Service game, and I was like, whatever shall I play? And then I was like, oh, that's right, I ended up getting Ace Combat, because that was also in that same time frame as the one of these mini Second Christmas games this year. And yeah, it's very pretty, and it's weird because it's like, I think only people that play a lot of those games or like just are really into it like will understand the story, because it's completely incomprehensible if you've never played any of them. It's just like Eurasia versus Oceania. It's whatever. It's something like that. Eurasia, Oceania, Eucia, Osea, whatever. Weird imaginary nation names. And it's like the whole thing where it's like we're fighting and it's like all these characters and it's all interconnected from like previous entries for like the first time, because it's like the seventh entry. So it's actually kind of cool because it like builds upon all the past entries. I thought that was really awesome. And then because you've got like mention of all the Balkans, or not the Balkans, not the Balkans. That's a European region. Balkans, who were in the Ace Combat 5 game, which is one of my favorites, so I thought that was really cool when they got mentioned. And then some of the other stuff I remember from Ace Combat 4 on PS2, so that was pretty cool. Like, it's like, it's all in there. It's just like, yeah, super dense and kind of incomprehensible and unrelatable if you've never played any of them. So it's, it'd be very hard to follow for someone like new to the series, I guess I should say. So just, yeah, if you play it, it's going to be fun and everything, but just like, the who, what, when, why, and all that stuff. Pretty hard to follow. Pretty hard. to follow. That being said, it's a fun game, and I very much enjoyed it. And yeah, it was a fun time. Fun ride, and it's a really cool scenario with a bunch of cool stuff. But yeah, if you like enjoy the games, I definitely would recommend it from the gameplay, because it is just like that sweet, delicious, gluey, orange spot touching deliciousness of,
oh my.
Do you like dogfights? Do you like missile trails? Do you like cannons firing at locked on ships and all the voiceover? Oh, there's a lot of voiceover in this game. It's just so much. Oh, it's so good too. It's just like, you know, the constant chatter of like radio of like, hey, guy on me. He's on your six. Check your six. And like, coming right in front of me. Da, da, da.
I don't know what my six is.
Six is the back of your plane. So it would be the rear of your plane. And then that would be bad because then there'd be an enemy like right behind you, locking onto you. And then, you know, doing. Or like, yeah, just like once they got a lock on with their thingy, and it's like, missile lock. And then, yeah, and it's like shaking the missile, or like, you know, make sure you get out of the way for the missile at you, because you don't want to die, and then, you know, it's not good, and then, yeah. And then, oh, it's actually really cool in this one, that since it's next gen, or since it's PS4, and like the stuff that they did with the current gen technology, so basically, there's like cloud stuff, where it's like, you go to the clouds, and like, you can lose missiles even faster, because it's like hard to track through the clouds or whatever, and then it's like it's really, and like they really did this cool thing where like with your frame of field of vision and like your point of view, where it's like you go through them and it just fogs up or just clouds up, no pun intended, really fast, and it's hard to see, and it's just like, oh man. So it's like you can get really disoriented really fast if you're like in a cloudy weather situation and there's stuff going down. And then like all the rain effects and like the weather effects are awesome. There's like this time where you go through like a thunderstorm and like you're fighting a thunderstorm and like there's lightning strikes. Super intense. Very delicious. There's this part with the sandstorm and like it's like it's like messing up all your instruments. So you kind of like can't really check your radar. So you have to like basically just like go very old school style and just be like stay on the target and then like track it. And that was really cool. There's like a lot of really cool stuff that they do in the scenarios to like switch it up and like not just keep it from getting super boring of like, oh, just shoot the things, lock the target, fire a missile, whatever. And it's and then even though it's got like super like incomprehensible, dense like backstory and like weirdness going on, there is like this section of the campaign where they do something like super brilliant with Kessler Syndrome Theory, where they have, I don't know if I want to say what happens. Okay, I'm not gonna say what happens, but it is like one of the coolest things I had seen with that whole like, you know, if like what if scenario of like if this happened, like what would happen, and then like it's cool the way it's like it affects the like gameplay and the story for like the rest of the game, because it does, because it basically messes up a lot of space technology. I'm just gonna say that I'm not gonna say exactly what happens, but like, you know, and then it makes it. I mean, it is kind of like annoying though, because it makes it like super hard to like do stuff, specific things I'm not going to say like for the rest of the game. But again, it kind of gets like fixed at some part. Well, it doesn't get fixed, but like, you know, it's not like as bad after it first happens all the way through for the rest of the game. So it's like there's some cool stuff that happens in the third act where it's like, oh, that was cool. And if there's a curveball and it changes things, it's like, oh, I've never seen this done before. And that was really brilliant. And I'd like to just applaud the Aces team, because that was neat. I did not see that coming. I didn't think they would like, they'd actually like be something just beyond dogfighting and melodramatic military storytelling and characters and stuff. And that's another cool thing. It's like they tell the story in the cutscenes, but it's like you see it from different perspectives, and then like towards the end it kind of overlaps and does like a cool, like they do some like cool storytelling stuff with that, and it like overlaps towards the end too. So that was really cool. But yeah, it was a very, very good game, and I thought it was. I did not like what, a bit of the way through I was like, this is becoming a bit predictable, but then they switched it up and like, oh, like it keeps getting like, you know, they keep having like little dashes of nuance here and there. That being said, the campaign is like kind of, I mean, it's not short, but it's not very long either, because I played it over a weekend, like 2 hours. Well, I would, it wasn't 2 hours a day, because I was like staying up late after work actually, so because it was that good to like pull me in. It was like 20 missions, I think. There's at least 20 missions. There's multiplayer too. I wasn't a big fan of it. I was like, eh, I wish the co-op was there. I hope they put the co-op in from, I think Ace Combat Zero was on PS3 or whatever, the free-to-play one. I love that game. I hope that comes into the game, because that would be awesome. Because like, the PvP is there, but it's like, I was never a big fan. So that's kind of like annoying. So, And it's cool because you can, like, customize your plans to have like gear suited for PvE or PvP, but you can only, like, some of it you can only use in multiplayer, some of it you can use in both, some of it you can use, yeah, like some of it you can only use in the campaign, some of it you can use only use in this multiplayer, some of it you can use in both, and then there's like different emblems and skins on the ships and stuff that they can, like, put on different parts. There's like, I mean, there's not a lot of customization as far as like previous games. It seems like it's a bit stripped down, but it's still in there. It's just not as robust as previous entries. So hopefully also like add some more stuff for that too. But yeah, I did thoroughly enjoy Ace Combat 7, and I played like right through it. I was like, wow, I just blew through that in a weekend. There's like some really good parts of the soundtrack kicks in the game where it just like comes up and it's like as you're dogfighting. It's just like, oh, it's just so good. It's just so, like I said, the orange glowy happy spot. And then and then there's VR, but I haven't tried that out yet, so we'll see if it's vomit inducing or not when I finally get around to it. There's something else besides the soundtrack I was going to mention. I can't remember now. Actually, it's cool because I got the deluxe edition or whatever, the Uber edition, and it came with Ace Combat 5 for the PS2 and PS4, which is one of my, like, Ace Combat 5 is one of my favorite games ever, because like that was the one that like I first played in the series, and I was like, I've missed out on 4. Are there of these? And I went back and played 4, and then I played 6 on Xbox 360. I didn't play the one that was after those. That was like the weird, like, third person locking on. It, like, they made it super actiony. I was like, this is an Ace Combat. I might go back and play just to see if it, like, is also like in that universe, because I'm not sure if it's actually in the same universe. I think it was Ace Combat Aerosol, maybe. I forgot the name, yeah. But yeah. There's something else they did in the game. I'm trying to remember what it was. That was like a neat little thingy. Darn, I can't remember. Maybe it wasn't. I think that might have been just the soundtrack I wanted to mention, because it has that, you know, really good theme going on. And yeah, if you're a fan, definitely check it out. If you've ever been interested, definitely worth checking out, because like I'm always saying, I miss these games where it's like you get to fly around in a craft or ship or whatever, plane, what have you, and just shoot things like Rogue Squadron. That's one of my favorite genres that we just don't get a lot of entries in. So it was nice to play one of my favorites that I don't get to see every now and then. Now I get to wait however many years for the next one. So that was nice. Besides that, what else? Ace Combat, Monster Hunter. Oh yes, I did play something else. I did Devil May Cry. I'm trying to get caught up on that.
Yay!
So I was like, well, Devil May Cry soon, and I'm learning about them. I'm not getting caught up, and I'll be behind though. So I've only played the first one in the series. I've never played 2, 3, or 4. Everyone says 2 is terrible, so I busted out the HD collection because I've had it.
It's not terrible. It's just a horrible game, is all.
That's kind of, how's that not the same thing, RPG?
What I remember is they give you cool moves, but the enemies aren't smart enough for you to ever need them.
Also that.
Like, there was a giant boss fight where I literally just, like, stood in a corner, like, up close to it and just shot at it until it died.
Yes. 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 A lot of the battles just kind of came down to battles of attrition. So it was just like, everything was a damage sponge, and you were just cherry tapping everything to death. And it's like, it's fine. This is fine.
But it wasn't fine. It wasn't fine.
I actually finished that game.
So did I.
That was not willingly, right? With the, yeah. It had two characters.
Yeah. One of them was that bird lady.
And maybe Dante in the future.
And future Dante. Fonte, if you will. Or Funte? I don't know. But it was future Dante.
Yeah, because it was the one move that I thought looked really cool the first time I saw it, which was you could do like a wall run flip. So you could, it wasn't like this where you're facing the wall. It's sort of like diagonally up the wall, and then you would like flip over enemies. But like the enemies would never be where you needed them to be in order for that move to look cool. And you know, for you to be able to use it to attack them in an interesting way. And I was just like, well, this is sad.
It was a very disappointing game. On multiple levels. But the bright side is you got another Devil May Cry game, so you know. Little victories, I guess. Little victories.
So basically I played it back in the day on PS2, so it's like I remember playing this game and liking it a lot. But then revisiting it on PS4, I was like, man, this game not a lot in here. I'm like, how did this game become such a big hit where it was like so awesome? And replayed it, I'm like, not a lot in here.
It was three.
And then it's like clearly something had to happen after this first one where it's like God, like things amazing things happen because I'm playing through this, not a lot to it. And then you turn to the end, some cool stuff happens, but there's a lot of emptiness in that game where it's like not a lot going on.
There's more about the combat and stylishness, cool. If anything.
I was like, yeah, the combat must have been like super, super awesome for the time because it's like, yeah, there's cool stuff you can do. But, you know, after a while, like, yeah, kind of seen and done it all. And just, yeah, I mean, because at the time, it's like you couldn't do cool stuff, though. There's not like stylish, awesome 3D action games. Like, you can just move around and have like awesome camera control like that. So it makes sense, like, thinking back on, like, you know, because like playing it now, I'm like, man, that's really awesome. And, like, going from like 1 to 3, woo, man, I gotta say, Devil May Cry 3, because back in the day, I bought it. It was like in my backlog for the longest time. I've never actually finished this game, so it's like, I never really went back and played it. So it's, I'm finally able to revisit it and play it for the first time fresh, with fresh eyes. Oh my gosh. Ooh, I can like see why people gush all over this one, because man, it is up there, dudes. It is up there with the Arkhams and the Bayonettas and the Nears of the world, of just like stylish 3D action combat, just so good. And just, man, the things you can do in that game. The things you can do. Like Tropical said, you can run up a wall, jump off it, slice a dude. Oh, I mean, that's the thing. It's just such so good. It's just the tactile feedback and just like it everything feels so good. And there's this boss fight where like you fight these two dudes that are brothers at the same time, and it's just like, I'm sorry. It was just it also touched my glowing orange spot. So thank you, Capcom, for like, you know, the doubling up of the orange-tasticness this week of just and that's the other thing, dude. It's like it is from a time when like the like slowdown and like, you know, bullet time was like cool. So like they just totally like put it in the games and like, oh man, look, we can do that too in our games. And like all every cutscene is amazing because it's just like, oh, check this out, slow motion. And then like Dante does something cool. And it's like the cool fight scenes and it's like stuff's going down and it's like oh, and it just like escalates. And it's like over 9,000, ow. And then
just like that.
Just like that. And then you do a part where it's like Dante versus Virgil, 1v1 on top of the giant tower. And it's like, oh, it's going down. And it's like, oh. And then, yeah. And then the cutscene, it's like, wow. The cutscene after, oh my gosh, like that was just like so over the top. I was like, I can't believe that just happened. I'm glad I shared about it, Nick. The world needs to know. I mean, the world probably already knows because, like, you know, years later, and it's already popular and stuff and been brought back. But, whew, man, my first time ever seeing that, oh my gosh, just, so glad I was able to experience this game and not have it spoiled after all these years. I am super looking forward to playing 4 and 5 now after just like the let's see, where I'm at the part where like after you fight Virgil the first time and then you get eaten by the giant well thing on like your way down and like you're in the well. So, or not the well.
It's about a nightmare?
I don't know. It's like you're eaten by some giant well fish thingy on your way, like when you like do that crazy jump from the tower and like gets eaten. Cool. I thought that was hilarious.
Cool story, bro.
And that's where you're at now. So that's where I'm going to pick up after the podcast and then try to get through that. Then I got to get through 4 and then I'll be ready for 5. And my body is ready, I must say, already, because that just that like that one lick of 3 was just like, ooh, this is why people gush over this game, because man, they like totally refined the combat in that one, just like polished it up, all the rough edges, and just like the like from 1 to 3, I'm just like, what's the big deal? And then I play 3 and I'm like, oh, that's the big effing deal. Yeah. Just because like the circle button does like context sensitive things on like things. Haha. Like it's like when you're next to a wall, you like run up a wall, or like when you can like have like when you're stylish, or is it stylish? I think it's the stylish style. There's like the multiple styles, which is awesome because there's like the gunslinger, the stylish one, the trickster or whatever, and then and then it's like you push the button and like stuff happens, and like there's like these stalactites, like he swings around and like jumps all of them and slices, and it's just like ah. Oh. I think that's another thing, dude, is like, and like since I've played so many shooters. And then they're in this console generation to like play a game where it's like sword and gun combination. It's just like, that's a nice peanut butter and jelly sandwich that you don't get very often. And it's just like, this just slice dudes up in games. It's like, you know, it's weird to say it. That's not something you get to do a lot very often anymore. But it's not something you can do a lot of anymore. And very few, even fewer do it where you like look awesome and it feels awesome. So Devil May Cry is definitely, oh yeah. It's like playing this and like, yeah, I can see why I had the reaction I had to DMC, because man, just like they kind of just like built off of that and just, yeah, like I said,
do you like the game?
I am loving me some.
Sound like it.
Doesn't combat in Devil May Cry. It's amazing. It's amazing. So, it's still plays well after all these years. It's amazing.
Back in the day, people said that Devil May Cry 3 was really hard.
It's not really hard.
Probably for the time that it came out, it may have been, but we've all experienced much more difficult games and stuff since.
I would say challenging. I wouldn't say it's hard, because I have died. I mean, on specific parts, I've died like on the same thing over and over. But since I'm playing like the special edition as like the, I think it's called gold thingy and not the yellow thingy, or the gold. There's like a weird thing you choose before you pick the, before you start your game. It says like gold or yellow. And then I believe gold is the new version that's in the special edition. And like yellow is like the old version where like you had to do like this level all the way over if you died. Mm-hmm. Gold is like you just get to checkpoint the room and just start over the room or something. But I could see why that would be the case before the special edition came out, and like you could just redo the section that you died in. But even then, it was just like boss fight, or mostly boss fights for me. So that I've had that issue with it. Wasn't like any of like the actual normal enemies that have been like plaguing me. So they're all pretty susceptible to the attacks and weaponry and all the stuff that you have available to you. So it's so bad. I mean, there was like this really annoying boss fight though, where like there's like this giant skeletal snake worm thing that was like in this hallway. I couldn't really get up close to like slice it with my sword, so I just like shoot it the whole time. That was kind of bummer, but you know, after that little stopgap, it's been nothing but awesomeness. So so good.
Was it so good?
It was amazing. I was like, man, talk about miss the boat again. Jeez. That being said, I've got a lot of games in my pile of shame, and that's just one of them. So, as you and RPG were both talking about the whole BioShock thing, I haven't played BioShock. I played the third one. I haven't played any other ones. Like three.
That's weird. How have you played?
I have it. Just haven't, you know, gotten around to it. I was Mass Effecting. I don't know.
I feel like those came out at different times.
That's like I don't one know. Game where I can be like, what?
Awesome. That's like, true. Tropical can what you?
BioShock was a 360 game and PC.
And you had a 360. There was no excuse for that.
I wasn't on the hype train though for that one.
Oh my goodness.
I just heard it was good.
I wasn't on the hype train. Even I played BioShock. I mean,
yeah, I was on the like opposite of the hype train for that one. If that's possible for me. It was just,
yeah,
everyone was like, oh, this game is amazing, it's amazing, and I played it and was like, it's kind of like a shooter, right?
Basically.
But then, you know, yeah, once you get into it, it was amazing. But I mean, I played it on 360 back in the day too.
Yeah, I think I played it on 360 as well, if I'm not mistaken. Because I did have a 360 at one point, and then I got rid of it because reasons. But,
But yeah, it's, you know, it's pretty neat from like Devil May Cry 1 to 3 and just like see the escalation of awesomeness and just like the exponential increase in the
awesome crazier
output. Well, I'm sure it does.
Capcom style.
I'm sure.
Or one of the sequels.
Cap.
For some reason, in this case, it wasn't the second one.
I mean, you know, sometimes we make mistakes and, you know, we learn from those mistakes. And then Devil May Cry 3 happened.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh,
well, 2 right was then. Made by someone else, I think.
I think it was 2, yeah.
And then, because I remember reading that that guy had a different sense of what was cool than the
Yeah, it's actually
guy.
Cool. Like, on the credits on the first game, it has, like, Hideki Kamiya was involved. Mm-hmm. The Resident Evil dude was involved. So yeah, it's like a lot of cool people are like that stuff to do in a lot of Capcom franchises were involved.
Before all the Capcom stuff went down and they all left.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, fine then. F you.
Go make our own. I think that was, yeah, that was before Clover Studio too.
Mm-hmm. And Platinum.
All right, Platinum did come from them, didn't they?
Yeah. Platinum came from the death of Clover at Capcom.
Yeah.
Essentially.
So yeah, that kind of worked out for a lot of people.
Yay. That's why we have Bayonetta.
It's true. It's true.
Actually, I haven't played any of the Bayonetta games, so that's... After this experience, I'm like, I must play Bayonetta, because it's basically like the lineage of DNA from this game, and it's probably just as amazing.
Bayonetta is very interesting, to say the least.
Oh yeah, there's also the whole weird storyline too thing with witches and whatnot.
But it's cool though the way they have the battle system set up with the like semi-bullet time things from perfect dodging and stuff. But it's a weird game. It's a weird game.
But yeah, that was fun. I thoroughly enjoyed the revisiting of these Japanese classics. Besides that, I think I've only played.
Wait, did you play 4?
I haven't played 4 yet.
The collection is only 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. I mean, there's a thingy out now that has 4 in it, but I got the 4 thingy before the collection was out. So, but then I also, I don't think I ever got 4 on 360 or PS3, and then I just never played it, and then the port happened, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. But then, finally getting around to it years later.
Four is interesting, but it plays quite a bit different because his powers are different from Dante's. So,
yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, because I had the collection on PS3, I never got around to booting it up. Now I'm like, oh man, all those years I've been missing out.
Next week, so.
It's like I might have to take the title of best 3D action game from Mark Immersion soon because things you can do. I mean, yeah, it is like very fluid and like the tells and everything in Arkham, but it's like if you want that 3D awesomeness action, just like Japanese style sword and gun.
In Arkham's defense, though, I mean, it was made to be a Batman game, and Devil May Cry was made to be a stylish action game. So, I mean, of course, it's going to be a lot different in terms of the how they play. So, I mean, they can both still be the best action games, just in different ways. Because, I mean.
And you can never take away the predatory stealth title from Arkham.
Oh,
so there's
that. That wasn't creepy at all. Yeah. Cool.
Just for you, RPG. Just for you.
Well, you know I'm terrible at stealth games, so. Yeah.
Oh, we know. We might have been watching the whole time. The whole time, RPG.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. Besides the daily races on Gran Turismo Sport, that's all I've been playing. But yeah, that game like gave me like 2 cars like very like in quick succession that were like awesome, but it was like, dude, I already have these. So it's like, you know, whatever. That the game, the RNG in the game is starting to like, you know, try to make me hate it, but it's not gonna happen. I've played worse, so you know. You'll never outdo Destiny. Sorry, Gran Turismo Sport.
Well, I mostly played a ton of Anthem over the weekend. So it came out on Friday, and I started playing at like 3:30 or so in the afternoon. And then since then.
He was never heard from again.
I think I've played like 30 some hours of the game.
Oh my.
But I think I'm going to save that, a lot of it, for the middle segment. Which is...
Oh yeah, just to make him
talking about should Tekken buy Anthem. No, the other game that I tried at RPG's request was Tetris 99, the Battle Royale Tetris game that they announced during the Nintendo Direct a few weeks ago. It is cool. It's
So how does this Battle Royale work with Tetris? Because I was curious, but I don't have a Switch, so...
It's 100 players, just like most Battle Royales. And then as you're playing it, at the most basic level, it's basically versus Tetris. So if you've ever played Tetris versus one other person, it's that.
Like Dr. Robotnik Mean Bean Machine? Taking it all the way back to the Sega times, guys.
I don't know. Okay.
I was a very big Sonic fan back in the day, by the way. Just putting that out there.
It's basically...
It's been a long road for RPG.
It has been a long road for me.
Actually, I guess the last competitive Tetris game that I played was the original Tetris on Game Boy with the system links. I played with a neighbor, and I don't remember him ever winning. So I thought, I'm pretty good at this.
Dennis, did you tell him to get good, Scrub?
No.
You should have.
I've always been nice.
I know. What's wrong? I understand.
Jeez. But no, like you're clearing lines, and through some algorithm that I've never tried to understand, the number of lines that you clear somehow translates to junk lines appearing on the other person's board at the bottom. And then, you know, that pushes them closer to the top. And then when you reach the top, then you've lost. You're out.
Oh, no. So it's basically I guess that makes sense because that's how Tetris works, but yes.
Yeah. So Tetris 99 is like that, except there are 99 other people. And so, like, the innovation is these, like, targeting mechanic, basically. So you have the right stick. You can push it in four different directions. You can... and basically, the different directions... let you choose who you want to target. So your junk lines will be sent to whoever it is that you set with the right stick. And it can be attackers. It can be random. I forget what the fourth one is, but the third one is you can go for basically kill shots. So I guess the game will decide, okay, who is close to losing. And then it will choose that
you're
person
already dead.
To send your junk to.
It's kind of messed up.
Category. Would you like to see kill shots? Yes.
I just wanted to say
only some kill shots.
Only kill shots.
So, yeah, and like I read an article recently, but yeah, the game really is like this. It's mysterious. Like, it doesn't tell you how it works. So when you get into the game, it just says Tetris 99, and then there's like a menu screen that has options, your statistics, and then like play, essentially. So there's no manual, there's no tutorial, it doesn't tell you how it works specifically. So people have been going out to like
scrubs.
Yeah, essentially, like, you just have to be good at Tetris. People have been trying to figure out all the systems. So apparently, like, attackers is the only way you can send your junk lines to multiple players at the same time. Random and KOs is always like one person, one other player.
Oh no, but does that mean that one other person gets like 6 billion lines if you do something like that? Because
I'm not, again, like, it's mysterious, and I haven't like looked into it myself, but apparently like your attack power is affected by lots of different variables. So the number of people you've taken out gives you badges, and then that increases your attack power. Then there's also like, there's something with attackers, like people who are attacking you. If you attack back, then you get some sort of bonus or something like that.
Revenge mechanics. Yes.
And it seems like if the higher ranked you were in the game prior to the one that you're currently playing, like the more people will just be assigned to attack you or something. It was it was really strange. I was like watching these other games of like really good Tetris players, and they would start and you would see like 12, you know, 15 other players like targeting one player, and then they would break out and take them all out. It's like pretty crazy.
So then if there's a, because now that I think about it, if there's 100 players, so how does the screen work? Because so
the screen, you know, Tetris is like a tall screen game, right? So it's the middle of the screen is your Tetris stuff. And then on both sides, there's little tiny, I guess one side has 45 of them. And, or, is that right? No, like, yeah, each side has, one side has 50 and one side has 49 little rectangles that if you look closely, like you can kind of tell, you can't tell exactly what's going on, but you can kind of tell, you know, how full a person's board is. And then, but you can't like, or can you? I think I did read you can use the touch screen if you're playing in handheld mode to like select who you want to go after. I don't know if I'm remembering that correctly, but yeah, like you can, it's just your big board in the middle and then 99 little boards on both sides of yours.
So that's not a lot to keep track of at all.
Well, for the most part, you're not looking at any of those other people, or maybe that's how the pros do it. I'm not looking at other people. I'm just like trying to play Tetris as quickly as I can. So that way you don't die. Yeah. it also shows you like next blocks, and I think it's 5 of them. So you, like Tetris effect recently, there's lots of options. You can choose how many next blocks you can see, and I think it's like you can turn it off entirely, or it goes up to 5 or 6 or something like that. This one is just like, I think it just shows 5, and then you can also hold a block. And then basically you're playing Tetris, and it gets faster as fewer players remain. And then by the end, I've never been to the top 10 yet. I think the closest I got was 12.
I mean, that's pretty good considering. I mean, when you're trying to like Tetris and not get Tetris at the same time, and 100 people.
Yeah, when I started playing it, I was like, oh, you know what's really great? It's really great that Tetris Effect came out like a few months prior to this. Because if this just came out by itself, I would just be playing and I would be in the 70s, 80s, or 90s like all the time, because when I started playing Tetris Effect in the past few months, I was like, oh man, I am not good at this. I'm not even, I can't remember. Or no, I don't think I was ever good at it, but I was like, when I started playing Tetris Effect, I was like, I cannot beat these levels. Like this is normal mode and I can't get to like the fourth stage. But then after, you know, going through, it's like, oh, now I can, you know, consistently get through the last stage on the normal difficulty. And so like my Tetris skills improved a lot playing Tetris Effect. And then so when Tetris 99 came out and I was just like playing Tetris, I'm like, oh, this, you know, it doesn't feel like how I felt playing Monster Hunter last week. It's like, yeah, I remember how to play Tetris. I've been doing it recently. And so it was good that I was already honed a bit. I still haven't won yet, so I guess we'll see.
That seems like it'd be a bit more stressful for a Battle Royale game, because it's like, I mean, with like the shooters, it's like, okay, you can kind of run around and, you know, do stuff, but
there's
like,
no hiding from the kill shots.
There is no hiding from. Yes, you can't hide in Tetris. And also, since it's kind of like a puzzle game, it's not like, I mean, you kind of have to think and strategize and stuff. It's not just like, oh, I'll just hope for the best and get lucky.
You kind of can. And I can't remember if this is how old Tetris used to be, but like the junk lines that you get have sort of built-in counterattacks. So I feel like in old Tetris versus like junk lines would be very difficult to clear. Like you would have to clear each line individually to get back down to, you know, acceptable levels. Whereas in Tetris 99, the junk lines that you get are often basically entirely built Tetrises. You just need to get down to it so that you can drop a like a straight piece, and then, you know, immediately like you're back in the game. I can't remember if that's how Tetris Versus always has been. So you can sort of like, when I used to play a lot of Puzzle Fighter, I guess I was just like slower than the people I was playing against. And then what happens is, like, the patterns that they send over to you, if you're able to survive them, they become really good opportunities for counterattacks. And so I feel like Tetris 99 is kind of the same in that way. Like, if you can survive and get back down to, like,
if junk you lines, can.
So you're not going to win, probably, but you won't die immediately either if you can just like hold out long enough for luck to take over.
I have a feeling that the professionals are not waiting for that.
They are not. Probably not. I agree.
They're like, get good, scrubs, have all my junk. And then you got a bunch of junk in your face. That does not sound appropriate. That does not sound appropriate at all.
I know. I keep saying send your junk. And then I was know. Like, oh, wait, I should say junk lines.
This opens up for so many improper phrases. Oh, no.
This is the only way to send your junk to multiple people.
It's like, oh, no. Not supposed to do that.
But I did.
I guess that reminds me. I played a decent chunk of Apex Legends also, because you mentioned other battle royales. And I guess like Tetris 99, it still seems like a more casual battle royale in the sense of, like, I don't like the way that a puzzle game stresses you out is different than the way that, especially back when I played PUBG, you'd be running around and suddenly you would just die because, you know, someone really good with a sniper rifle off somewhere you never even knew they were there, and suddenly you're just
they were
because the weapons are very lethal. And sort of like Blackout in Call of Duty Black Ops 4, it's sort of like Call of Duty style of that. So you still can die extremely quickly, just out of the blue. Tetris, it never feels like you just died out of the blue. You're always, you kind of know. You don't know who did it to you all the time, but you know that, okay, someone did this to me and I wasn't good enough to,
and now they must myself. Pay.
Yeah, Apex Legends, the weapons are, I guess, less deadly, or you are like better protected in Apex Legends, and so it just feels like less stressful. So on the scale, I would say like PUBG is probably at the top as far as how stressful it is. Blackout is kind of like a little bit lower, but also still up there because it is sort of Call of Duty style. You do die very quickly if someone gets the jump on you in Call of Duty. So that, and then below that, I would put probably Fortnite, which you can also die suddenly without even knowing that your attacker was there.
And your teammates can be monsters.
Apex Legends, I think, is below that because it's always squads of three and sort of the communication systems without using microphones are really good. And there's like lots of opportunities to respawn and stuff if you're.
Oh, yeah. I heard that, or not heard, but like when DeathSiphon area that checked it out after it came out was talking about it, they said you can come back to life in that one.
Yeah. It's really
cool. Or be brought back with the Dragon Balls.
I've only won probably two solo games in Fortnite. And I have played a lot of Fortnite. But Apex Legends, like, I think I've played a decent amount. Probably not as much as these, you know, streamers and the hardcore Battle Royale people, but I've won two games of Apex Legends so far, and it was always a team effort. Like, I have yet to win one where nobody on my team went down and was like taken out, and then we had to like pick up their banner and run to a respawn point and then respawn them. Like, both games that I won, we had to do that for multiple players. But yeah, it's really cool, and it just feels like if the game feels a bit, even though Fortnite is so colorful, Apex Legends somehow feels friendlier.
That is weird.
Yeah, it's really strange because it seems like a serious.
Because Fortnite seems looks more approachable to me than Apex Legends does.
But there's a bunch of children playing it, so they're all douche nuggets. So, you know, there's that.
Did we talk about the meme on here of the whole, like, all the children playing it and, like, every game has become nice now?
we touched
on it.
Yeah, we
mentioned it.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably why, yeah.
But yeah, I would put, like, Apex Legends as, like, below Fortnite in terms of how stressful. And then finally, I would put Tetris 99 as the least stressful, although it is stressful in a different way, and that's probably why. Like, shooters, I feel like, are more stressful than puzzle games, but not to say that it's a relaxing Tetris game, but it really is a lot easier to, like, put it out of your mind that other people are trying to kill you. Because, like,
I mean,
like, it really is. That's like
one way to look at it.
With occasional obstacles thrown in your way, and that's kind of it. Yeah, I guess it helps that there's no voice chat too on Switch, so you just
Nintendo knew what they were doing.
Yeah, you don't know what those other people If you didn't know, maybe you wouldn't know that those are other players. You would just be like, oh, there's all this random crazy stuff happening on the sides of my Tetris thing, and sometimes I get more blocks at the bottom for some reason, but whatever, I'm just playing Tetris.
Just having a good old time.
Pretty much.
But then he wasn't, said the narrator. But then he wasn't.
Yeah, I've played that one.
But Apex Legend is like, it's like a combination between like Overwatch and name a battle royale game. One of those, right? Kind of, because it's like a character, because it's like a character shooter. Kind of, it's not just like, because like with Fortnite, everybody's basically the same. You just get different weapons and you can just build stuff or whatever. But it's like with this one, like the characters all have like different powers and abilities and stuff, like you would in a Fortnite type. Or not for and in an Overwatch type.
Kind of. Like, you know, I think the difference is, well, one, Overwatch has way more characters, and Apex Legends only has eight. And two of them aren't even available in the beginning. Like, you have to grind some sort of currency to get the other two.
It struck already.
I'm trying to figure out actually how long it would take to grind. That's something I'm working on. But I haven't gotten enough to get one yet. So quite a while. But no, that's because I was very bad at the game and hadn't figured it out yet. The typical game that I won was around 20 some minutes of Apex Legends, which is I feel like longer than Fortnite games. Fortnite games seem to be like 15, maybe. But then, yeah, like that's the key. In Apex Legends, you got to stay alive. The longer you're alive, the more experience you get. And then leveling up is how you get this currency. And so my earlier games, which were like 5 to 7 minutes long, weren't giving me much XP. And I was just like spending a lot of time just like matchmaking and setting games up and not really playing in them.
So you have to actually take a while in these games.
Yeah, you gotta. If you live, then you're getting a lot more experience.
Also, side note, I just realized that the Battle Royale thing is a reference to Battle Royale.
Yes, I believe that is the case.
It didn't even connect until I was like, wait a minute.
They should be called Hunger Games.
It would, yeah.
It already has games in it.
It's true. It would be an easier one to be like, oh, right, that's a thing. Because I keep forgetting it's like, all right, Battle Royale, all the poor Japanese kids murdering each other.
Wow, that was, with a lowercase.
That was a dark book. Very dark book. I also saw the movie for that. It's very dramatic.
The first one.
It's very dramatic.
Yeah, Apex Legends. The other difference is that...
No, I mean Battle Royale, not Hunger Games. I didn't see those movies.
Ah.
No. I read the books, though.
Anyways. the other difference with Apex Legends is since you scavenge weapons, every character can use any weapon. So the thing that really differentiates each of them is their abilities, and those are on cooldowns. And so you can't really use them that much. Like, each character has one, like, a passive ability, which makes them sort of unique. Although, it doesn't seem to have that big of a difference. Like, one, there's a support character. She uses health items faster. When she revives people, she has a shield that comes up to protect her from fire. And then... I think, yeah, those are her passives. And then, like, one of her actives that she can use more often is she can deploy a drone that heals people. And then her, like, ultimate, I guess, is she calls down a care package, and then usually inside there's, like, really good equipment. But, like, the ultimate, each game you use it maybe once or twice. The passives, like, they're not a huge differentiator because they don't come up all the time. Like hers were those that I just mentioned. There's another character who has, like if she's under fire, she runs faster. And like, that's not something you're using most of the game. It's just like when it happens, then you get a little bit of boost of speed. So in that sense,
I guess it helps you run quickly towards people if you want to murder them for shooting at you.
I guess so. The one time I used it, I was definitely running away.
Oh. Well, then.
But it's a passive, so it was like, I didn't have a choice. Like, I was being shot at, I didn't know from where, and I was running, and suddenly I was faster. It's like, oh, okay. So, I got to see it. Yay. Yeah, and in that sense, like, it doesn't feel like the characters are that different most of the time. Most of the time, you are just a person who can slide really well, because that's like one of the things in Titanfall. And also, you're just somebody with weapons, whatever you could find.
Could you imagine a battle royale with Titans?
We'll get there eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think maybe they're going to do what Fortnite has been doing with limited time events, because those are pretty popular. And they'll have one that's like, stand by for Titanfall, and someone gets a Titan. And it's like the Thanos event that Fortnite did, which was pretty fun.
Oh, yeah, that was a thing. So then everybody has to try to take down a Titan. Oh, dear.
Well, yeah, that was interesting with Thanos, because we didn't have to work together to take down Thanos. But it always makes sense to do it, because if you don't, then he's going to take down everybody. And you're just like, well, yeah, I don't know why we were fighting each other. We were just softening each other up for Thanos to come and get all the kills.
Basically.
So, yes, that was my Battle Royale stuff. And I will talk about Anthem after this. RPG, what have you been playing?
Dun, dun, dun. Stuff. So, basically, I mean, it was mostly Monster Hunter. I did start The Witcher 2 because it was on, or Witcher 2, The Witcher 3 because it was on sale during GameStop's Pro Days, I think it was called, that thing. So I was like, oh, let me pick this thing up because everybody keeps talking about how amazing it is and how I should play it. So I was like, okay, I will do it. So I did. But I haven't really played much of it because I forgot why, but it happened. So, I mean, I started the game and then I did the tutorials and then I went into a village where I accidentally attacked a villager and then the guard tried to murder me.
A villager, you said.
Of course it was an accident. I mean, I didn't know you could hurt them. And I was trying to show him a cool magic trick because I have magic powers. I'm a witcher. Shut up. So yeah. And then the guards were like, yeah, you can't do that. And I was like, who's going to stop me? And then they were like, well, we are. I was like, you and what army? And they're like, this one. And then it was like a bunch of people. They're all way higher level than me. I was like, oh, this is bad. So I either have to try to figure out a way to murder all these people all at once and cover up my first murder or run away and hope that this thing resets. So yeah, that that went well. So then after that, I was like, okay, let me try to not kill people. And I started playing Gwent. And that pretty much took up the remainder of my time. Because card games, guys. Card games. So,
people yeah. People die in Gwent?
I mean, not technically, I think. I don't really know how that works. I mean, it's a card game, man. I mean, people can't technically be dying. Their cards could. I mean, I don't know. I'm just a Witcher, man. I don't know how that works. I'm assuming I'm like mixed with monsters or something because my eyes are yellow and it's like, I don't know how it works because I haven't played any of the other Witcher games. So that also kind of makes things a little weird because I don't actually know any of the lore for the universe. So I'm just kind of going with the flow, but I'm assuming there are people who have magic powers and monsters. And then, yeah, there are like demons running around called the Wild Hunt or something. And then I have a daughter for some reason. There's things going on and I don't really know what's happening. So yeah, I look forward to discovering all these things because I have no idea. So there's that. And then other than that, I've just been going through the battle gates in Kingdom Hearts 3 so I can like get all the secret reports and stuff so I can learn things and more lore and all that stuff. So yeah, that's been happening. But that's pretty much all I've been playing. Nothing too exciting.
So, has RPG played the most Witcher out of all of us now?
He's only played a bit of the third one, Tropical.
Have you played any?
I played the first one. Like, I got to the first village. I played a side quest. I played part of the quest. I mean, it's probably... Have you played any at all?
I've played not that far in the first one.
Cool. So, I have played the most. You all suck.
What are you talking about? How do you play the most? You've only got like to the first village and killed people.
So yes, that's like it. But I also played a card game. Did you play a card game?
I had a sex card? Scene.
Yeah, so I there. Had that at the beginning of my game. I mean, I was in a bathtub. So it was post-sex. So yeah. Come at me, bro.
Post-sex isn't the same as sex.
Come at me, bro.
I put skills into my skill tree.
Yeah, well, so did I. Because they were skills for murdering people. By accident.
I've seen definitely the wasn't beginning intentional. Of 1, 2, and 3. And that's it.
Doing it around the college, John Paul.
As usual. As usual.
I think I was in the tutorial of the first one. The second one didn't have a tutorial, but it starts with combat. So I played through that combat sequence. And then the third one starts, it's like a flashback, right? That's the tutorial? And that
for is which
that
one?
The third one?
Third one is, yes, a flashback.
It's a flashback.
Because Siri disappeared and her life is out of order. Yeah, I don't know.
And then you get on the horse.
And then you get on the horse.
And that's these are why accurate. I stopped on that one.
These are accurate statements, everyone. Yay.
See, I have definitely played the beginning.
There was, in fact, a horse involved. Yes. Not wrong.
All right. Well, yeah. Someday. Witcher. Maybe. We'll see.
See? Maybe I'll just be like, F this noise, and then just not play it, because now that I have the most Witcher experience out of all of us here, I'm basically the expert of the podcast. So, cool. It's cool.
Cool.
Ask me anything.
Well.
Also a journey expert, too, just in case anybody asks.
That is definitely not true.
It definitely is. These guys don't know what they're talking about. They're like, I don't know, RPG. You're super wrong about your scarf monsters eating people because they didn't blatantly show it to us in the thing. I'm like, yeah, I know. Because you guys clearly don't read the subtext. And also notice the giant scarf monster things that are eating everything in sight. But it's cool. It's cool. I'll just let you be wrong.
Well, so, yes. The thing that I spent most of my time this week playing, Anthem, leads us into our middle segment, Should Tekken Buy Anthem? We did this for RPG and the Switch before, and I thought it'd be interesting, because as I was playing the game, it was very hard not to compare it to Destiny, just because of what it is, and also because at some point Tekken was thinking of getting Anthem, because he was afraid it might be better than Mass Effect.
It turned out to be something completely different.
The mental hypothetical train,
yes.
Pulled up the station.
It got crazy. Like,
toot, get in, Tekken. Get in. He didn't get in. He didn't get in.
So, in a single sentence, I think that Anthem is actually pretty good.
Well, of course you do.
Except that it's kind of broken.
These seem like things that are not things you want to be connected if you're on team want.
Except for the fact, well, except now, like, games can be patched and stuff like that. So I'm sort of hopeful that it will get fixed.
Oh, I've been on that train before. In fact, I think I still am. It's called Destiny 2. Huh.
Could get better.
Could get worse.
Oh, no, like, what I'm saying about broken is, like,
technically, or is
yeah,
it like...
Yeah, it's like technically broken.
Oh.
So the game, the cadence of the game actually reminds me a lot of Monster Hunter, where you go back to your base and you're just like there alone, even though when you're out in your mech suits, which are super awesome, you're playing with other people. But then when you go back, it's just you. And you know, that's where you take care of everything. You can't change your gear out in the field, just like Monster Hunter.
You can.
Go to you the can teams. In the world now, but you couldn't in the previous Monster Hunters.
Oh, you can change it. Oh, that's right. You can change it in the tent. Well, you can't change all willy-nilly, like in Destiny, where you're just like
out. Like you just go to the menu and be like, yep, I'm doing this.
Yeah, it's like in the town, you know, prepare for missions and get your missions and stuff. And then you go and do the mission. And then you get rewards and like new gear and stuff like that. And then you go back to town. And then that's where you're able to like put on your new gear and try all the new things. And then, you know, you just sort of repeat that. The difference, though, is that the town is super interesting. Because
is it?
Yeah, like that's where they're doing all the BioWare story stuff. So when you're out of town, or yeah, I guess in that sense, like So compared to Destiny, the story of Anthem is way better.
I mean, it's not hard.
I was about to say, that's a low bar.
Yeah. That is not hard. But just like the sense of the tower and like the people who are there and the characters and everything is like, you're having a real BioWare like story thing happening. It's basically like walking around on the Normandy and talking to all the people or any of like the hub areas that, granted, I didn't speak to most people in Mass Effect because I was like, you know, my job is urgent. I don't have time to find your sister.
Oh my.
But it was just like,
got a
like,
world to save.
It reminds me a lot of playing Mass Effect. And then instead of jumping into like missions, I'm jumping into Mass Effect multiplayer. And then you play that and you finish that. And then you go back to your ship, essentially, and talk to more people. The combat is... People have been talking about how there's not many guns, or like there's not a lot of gun variety. And I kind of think that's wrong, because it's the game really isn't about guns. Like, the guns are fine, I guess. It's basically the way... It's guns in the way that Call of Duty has a ton of guns. It's like, oh, you know, is there a lot of variety of guns in Call of Duty? It's like, technically, yes. But on the other hand, they're all kind of the same. You know, a shotgun is a shotgun is a shotgun. And then there's like 8 of them in Call of Duty. And so there's like 4 or 5 different shotguns in this. It's mostly about your like gear and like special attack weapons in Anthem. So I don't know why the emphasis on guns is there.
Yeah, because it should be all about the mech suits, man.
Yeah. And the mech suits are really cool. Like, the combat, for me, I think first person shooters are a lot more, they take a lot more effort to play. This is like a lot more relaxing because it is kind of like gear based. And because the gear that I use tends to have like blast radiuses, I don't have to aim and concentrate in the way that I have to when I'm playing Destiny. Like, maybe that's my fault though. Like, in Destiny, I've always played with weapons that reward high accuracy. Almost never have I used weapons that are like the auto rifle, where you just have to like point in the general direction and hold it down, and eventually they will die. Yeah, this one, because it's got combos just like Mass Effect had, from what I remember, and that part of the combat makes it super interesting to do. Especially when you get a group that knows what they're doing with combos, then you can like wipe out giant groups of enemies super quickly. And it's just, I don't know, it's really fun. Yeah. Well, so why did you end up not getting it?
Because there were all the issues. A, B, I saw how you could basically just like burn through the campaign in no time, and then it's like, oh, now you're at, grind your life away in game, have fun with that for the next however long until they actually add some decent in game content, because it doesn't seem like it's there right now.
I guess. You know how I was talking about with Division, it seemed like there was a lot of content before you got to the point where it was you grinded the same stuff. This one, I guess I'm not really sure, because I binged it and it took probably 2 days to finish all of the campaign stuff and all the side missions. Granted, I guess in Destiny I didn't play most of the side stuff, so I don't know how much of that there was. But to me, this one felt like it did have a decent amount of content before I found myself repeating the same content to progress power level wise.
Oh, that's, yeah. So that's one of the things that I think is really cool. Like in Destiny, you're kind of gated, time gated in a way, with the resets. So every week, there's only a certain amount of powerful gear that you can get. And then, how's it work? Then you just have to be lucky, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just are hoping that Prime Engrams drop. This one, Anthem, I think has a lot more opportunities for you to roll the dice and get better gear. Right now, I'm at, I think, like 461 power, which means that, so I maxed out my level, and then I think when you finish the game, a lot of people said they were like level 21, 22. I was around 28 when I finished the game. And then once you hit 30, then your gear power, like Destiny again, is what matters. And then past 400, I think, is what they recommend for like sort of the higher difficulties. And this one, like, I've seen people in the 600s already, which is, I can't imagine how much they've played, but it's only been out for 2 weeks at most. So the fact that someone can get there means that I don't think it's locked in the same way that Destiny is. I suppose this is not very convincing, is it?
That's true, because he doesn't really like Destiny at the moment, so it's probably not the best way to go about
it. Most of it is like, it's, I think the grind is better than Destiny because of the story stuff, and also because it's not as frustrating. Like, Destiny's feels like they're trying purposefully to slow you down. It's like, oh, we just gotta slow them up until we can get the next thing out, which will only be a short 5 or 6 months away. So you can only do the Nightfall.
Is that all?
Yeah, Nightfall is once, or not the Nightfall, the raid is once a week. If you do it more than once a week, then you don't really get anything unless you're super lucky. But you know, that it's a very small percentage. This one doesn't have raids per se. It has essentially strikes, like strongholds, but there's only 3 of them, which is like not ideal. But on the other hand, like playing them over and over again gets you gear that you can actually use. Like, I believe every time you finish a stronghold, you're like guaranteed at least one like higher tiered gear drops. And you can just keep doing that again and again. And because the combat, to me, feels much more interesting than Destiny, it feels like less of a grind. Like, you are playing the same mission, but because your sort of group was always different, or at least, yeah, in my case, like, my group was always different because I wasn't playing with friends. Oh, yeah, that's one aspect of Anthem. So I would recommend not playing it with friends until you're at the point.
Red effing line, red flag. I didn't know what you're talking about as far as, like, don't play with friends. That sounds like something I would never do in a game if I was playing co-op.
Don't play with friends. Don't turn on voice chat. Don't play with friends until you've gotten to the point where you've gotten through all the story. Because it's... So when I first heard how they were doing story, mainly like it being kind of separate from the actual gameplay part, it's like you got a town that you walk around in and that most of the story is happening there. And like there are story missions, but, you know, everyone has to watch those cutscenes at the same time. So there's no, like, you're not disrupting the group if you're like, oh, wait, I want to watch this cutscene. It's like, well, they're stuck in the cutscene, too. So everyone is watching the cutscene. And if you're all playing at the same time, you know, the first time through the story is like, great, that works just fine.
Did you play any of it solo, Tropical?
No, I played every single game like random matches.
I would probably just like play through it all solo as far as the story goes.
I don't think it would be as fun because of the combo system. I think that's why. So like, because it works.
Because as far as Destiny, it's like I usually play solo alone anyway. Same with Monster Hunter. It's like unless I need help or it's like someone needs a team up, it's like I'm just going to stick it solo lately.
Maybe. Well, yeah. In some respects, it would be better, and in some respects, it would be worse. So to finish what I was talking about, like if you, it made sense for me or to me to play with randoms because then I wasn't like holding anyone up if I decided like I wanted to go and talk to a bunch of people in town, and then like the whole group would have to wait for me to finish, or they would have to do other stuff in town. Whereas like playing with randoms is like, well, it's sort of on my timetable. Like I can do whatever I want in town and stay however long I want. And then just like random matchmake every time I needed to go out on a mission. But yeah, like I think playing solo would be on the one hand, it would be better because Anthem has this weird system where they really need the group to stay together. And if everyone is playing, like there's some people who just want to rush to objectives. And if they're rushing to objectives in the mission, then you're constantly being warned that, oh, your team is getting ahead of you. We're going to teleport you in 30 seconds if you don't get there in time. And that can be kind of annoying because like story dialogue and stuff doesn't wait for you to get there. It just plays. So if a random teammate gets there before you do, then they will trigger your teleport countdown. And if you're not able to get there in time, then dialogue will start playing, but you'll be in a loading screen and you won't hear the dialogue. Oftentimes I would hear like the tail end of dialogue if I was teleported to my team. So that wouldn't happen if you're playing single player because, well, obviously. But on the other hand, like the combo system is harder to do, or it's less impressive if you're by yourself because you can only have so much gear. It's basically, I think it does remind me a lot of Mass Effect, and I didn't play that much Mass Effect, so I don't remember the terms or biotics or whatever. But the analogy I came up with today was, if you're playing Anthem with just guns, that's like playing soldier class in Mass Effect, is what I'm told, right?
Soldier. If you mean that's like the worst way to play it, yes.
It's like the not fun one where you're basically just shooting stuff.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's not fun. It's just the worst way to play.
Okay, yeah.
The worst class in the game because they are completely boring. Because it's like, would you like to play a third-person shooter RPG game where you're not a class that does anything cool because you just use guns? Here you go.
Yeah.
Half with your grenade ability.
Exactly. Like that's what Anthem is like if you're just playing with the guns. It is the soldier class in Mass Effect. Whereas, you know, if you're doing all the combos and stuff, that gets really exciting. And you can each javelin has a different effect when they trigger a combo. I don't know what the other ones are because I've only played Colossus, but Colossus, when it triggers a combo, there's sort of an elemental explosion that can damage other enemies around. And since enemies often spawn in big groups, depending on the enemy type, you can get really crazy combos. And then it does the thing where, you know, the numbers and like combo pop up on the screen, and it's like it's very exciting. It just, yeah, that combat wise it just feels like that is more exciting to me than Destiny was. Even though Destiny was really fun to play, you know, the only way to like get out of situations sometimes was just like, well, now you just gotta shoot better. I just gotta shoot better. Everything's gotta be a headshot or a shot to the stomach if they're the robots. And that's how I'm gonna get out of this. And maybe my super will charge in time, but you know, mostly you're just relying on your guns, whereas this is the opposite. Like, this is like you're relying on all of your crazy other stuff. And yeah, with a team of four, it can go by, or you can just, it's just way cooler. You can get through things way easier. Although maybe that's not a good thing either, because on normal, the game felt super easy. Like, there never seemed to be anything that was that tough.
Wait, you can set the difficulty?
Yes. Yeah, every time you go out on a mission, you can choose the difficulty. And I think the beta had hard. This one, so it's like there's easy, normal, hard, and then there's three different levels of
Grandmaster.
Is it Grandmaster? It's Master something. But yeah,
it's three it's levels Grandmaster
that are harder. Yeah, I've been playing, so after I played through most of it on normal, and then I was just like, this is too easy. Like, I gotta turn it up. So I turned it up to hard, and then it was still, like, kind of easy. There's only a few enemy types that are just very difficult to deal with. But then now that I'm trying to get, like, better items, I'm playing on the first Master Grandmaster level. Yeah, the game does not play around at that point. Everything takes a lot of hits. And so it really does become like, oh, you gotta know how to do the combos. You gotta, you know, prime everything you can, and then someone's gotta be aware enough to see, is like, oh, everything is primed. I'm gonna hit the detonator and just take everyone out. Yeah, like everything has way more health, and they do way more damage, and things like the Colossus Shield aren't as effective anymore. So it gets really cool as far as like a challenge when you get to the higher levels. And then, yeah, at this point, I think it would be awesome to play with friends or use voice communication, just not with randoms. Because, like, you know, setting up the combos, I've had one game where everyone was, like, really on the ball with combos, and we just destroyed this contract so quickly. And there was, like, yeah, there was a lot of the tough enemies, and yet, because everyone was doing just like on point, it turned out really easy. Like, oh man, that was so cool. So I think with a coordinated team, you could do that more often. And this was just like a random chance thing. But yeah, as far as like story stuff, I think it makes sense to do it by yourself. Whether you're playing with randoms or alone, just because. Well, for me, I don't want to hold other people up, so. What else did I note? Oh, yeah. So, like, the other thing about the weapons being useless, they have weapon challenges in the game, like Call of Duty. So they'll ask you to, like, defeat a certain amount of enemies with each gun, and then you unlock blueprints for them. And then like that is a way to upgrade your character. So like, I don't think, well, Destiny 2 had this where you could like trade in the collectibles in every zone, and then those would help you get, you would like progressively be rewarded with slightly better gear. Like, Anthem's like crafting system is like that. So I don't know. I guess this is not working.
The real question is how do you make Tekken love a game that's similar to Destiny without making it seem like it's similar to Destiny?
I think it's like better Destiny. But if it's you're like better not Destiny. Sold on the concept of Destiny anymore, then yeah, there's no point. I would say like the story stuff seems like the main story. I've heard people say it's not that good. I thought it was fairly interesting. It had like twists and stuff, and I don't
Did
understand.
Did it turn out that you were the Anthem all along?
No. Like, I don't understand why Destiny 1's story was so bad.
Because it wasn't really there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think they had like try to get it out the door, so it's like they probably didn't have it in the state they wanted it to be in, so it wasn't
right.
as they wanted it to be.
But it's just really strange because, like, you know, every story has a beginning and an end, right? Mm-hmm. And then
that is how they work. Is, like,
you know, the story in Destiny 1 really was, they made it seem like it didn't really feel like there was an ending. It was just like they opened the door. It's like, all right, now you're in Destiny after you've played our story stuff. And didn't feel like there was an ending, which at the time I thought, well, you know, that makes sense. Like, this is supposed to be the beginning of this whole Destiny thing. So why should there have been an ending? But now that I think about it, it's like, wait, like, they could have had an ending. Because the thing is, you know, you live through, people live through stories all the time. Or events in their life that they turn into stories, and those have beginnings and ends, and they don't die at the end of all their stories. Like, life continues after the ending. Like, you can have life after endings. And so now when I think about it, it's like, why didn't that one have an ending? It was just like, it's just very strange to me now. And Anthem, like, it feels like there was a complete story, and yet it feels very natural. Like, oh, the stuff that comes after it feels very natural. There was a game like that recently too. I think it was an open world game that I felt like that was really cool, where it didn't, like Horizon, big stuff happens at the end, and then before they set you out into the open world where you can do whatever you want, they say, so that was the ending. And now we're going to let you play in the open world. But since that stuff in the end happened, we're going to turn back the clock to before that stuff happened. And then now you can go play in the open world. Where was I going with that? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, Anthem story, I thought was pretty good, and then they do a lot of like side character stories that you that are just like dialogue things that you do in the fort, and you get to make choices, and I don't think any of them are really sort of the life and death type choices, but it all feels very BioWare to me, although the only thing I've played from them is Mass Effect, and to a lesser extent Star Wars The Old Republic. It's definitely better than that one in as far as story goes. Like, that the story was very disjointed in The Old Republic because you had to do so much MMO grinding in the middle, and this one is very I guess, like, what it kept reminding me of was how boring the tower seems to be. Every time you go back to the tower, it's sort of the same. Whereas this one, every time you go back to Fort Tarsis, there's like different stuff. And, you know, the stories of the side characters have progressed in the way that, like, yeah, like Mass Effect was like that. You would leave a place and then you would come back, and then there'd be new people who had dialogue, and then you would go talk to them and learn about them. And I thought, yeah, all of that was like really, really engrossing to me in Anthem, and they're really neat stories. I was like, oh, this like hub area is so much more interesting.
So wait, can you go to the hub with your friends, or is it just you?
It's just you. There is a like launch bay that I guess they added after fan feedback, where you can like group up or like you'll see other players there, but there's no NPCs to talk to there. So it really is just a launch bay, like hub where you can access your like inventory and your loadouts and stuff like that. And you can accept new contracts, and then you can probably mandated from the publisher, you can access the store very easily in multiple of places. Course.
Oh, wow.
Some microtransactions.
Like you mentioned the microtransaction thing. That's like a thing I completely forgot about because it kind of like hasn't been completely exploited yet because we don't know how bad it's going to get. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that is not going to be an issue at all.
Well, we'll see.
Because like so it's mostly cosmetics.
Mostly.
So the real money stuff you can only buy cosmetics with. There's coin that you earn completing challenges in the game, and those can be used to buy the same cosmetics. The most expensive cosmetic I've seen so far was 61,000 coins.
And oh my.
I have earned 150,000 coins in the time I played. And like I didn't want that cosmetic, so I was just like, well, there's really nothing for me to spend my coins on right now.
You should save them just in case.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I could buy crafting materials, but you also get those doing challenges, and you also get those dismantling things. And like I looked at my inventory for crafting materials, and it's just like full. It doesn't even tell me how many I have. It just says 99 plus of everything. And I'm just like, so I don't need my coins for crafting material. I don't need them for the cosmetics. What am I supposed to do with these things?
Nothing.
So yeah, like my conclusion initially right now is just like, I don't think the microtransactions are going to be an issue for anyone. Because 30 hours, it's been 5 days. I guess that is a lot, but it's not really tied to playtime. It's like tied to challenges, and they have an array of daily challenges that reward you with coins. The weapon challenges give you schematics, so it's what kind of challenges were they? I think they were like combat challenges. So you have to like kill a certain number of each faction. Or I think the exploration ones give you coins also. But yeah, there's just like a lot of ways to get coins. I think you can even pick them up randomly out in the world. So there'll be harvest points, essentially. And sometimes, like I remember one time I picked up some crafting materials and 4,000 coins from a plant that I smushed. And I was like, huh. So you can just get these out here randomly too. So yeah, so far, nothing. They may be pressured into making it harder to get coins, but so far.
Yeah, because that's the only way they're going to get people are going to be able to do like the microtransactions. Otherwise, it's going to be like, well, I could grind all this stuff easily, so why do I need to bother?
Yeah.
I could just, do what I got to do.
I mean, I guess what I'll say on that is it's not Street Fighter V. Like,
oh, dear.
Where you just have no idea how long it's going to take to grind to get anything. This one is, like, pretty attainable, I feel like. I have started to feel the sort of urge to get cosmetics, though. Because when you see the other javelins and they all kind of look like yours, you're like, well, I don't want to look like everyone else. I want to be special. And so you do start looking for them. But yeah, so far, none of them have been that good looking. So the desire to be different is like, well, different, better. I want different, better. yeah, like, that was mostly good stuff, I think. Well, so what I mentioned at the beginning was that it's kind of broken. Here is a choice that I was faced with after every mission. So after every mission, it says, where do you want to go? You can go to the forge, which is where you like outfit your javelin. You can go back to Fort Tarsus, which is the big fort with all the NPCs, or you can go to the launch bay. Like, well, why is that such a hard decision? It's like, well, first of all, the load times are really long. I started thinking, like, is this like a really healthy game? Like, you can't. There are extended periods where I can get up and walk around and like be healthy because the game is loading. But no, I was like trying to finish the campaign, so I wanted to do it as efficiently as possible. And I'm looking at these three choices, like, which one do I choose? Fort Tarsus loads the longest, I think, because there's like a lot of people there and a lot of stuff, and it's like a bigger area. So that one takes the longest to load. The forge loads pretty quickly because it's like your loadout. But then if you exit the forge, then it takes you to Fort Tarsus and then it has to load Fort Tarsus. So that one is not ideal either. The launch bay is a smaller area and there's no NPCs there. So theoretically, it should load the fastest. But because it's like the social space, it also has to do matchmaking first before... before it can load into that area. And so, like, I was constantly faced with this dilemma. I was like, which one do I choose? Which one's going to be the fastest? One, loading is really long. And two, sometimes it doesn't work. I have run into only, thankfully, only one.
That sounds really bad, Rob. Yeah,
I'm about to say that's kind of a problem.
There was only one infinite load that I ran into in the that full version.
That's kind of appetizing.
But, but it was like sometimes I would load into the launch bay. Like that was my default choice. Like if I had already collected like new missions, then I knew that I could go to the launch bay and then from there launch an expedition and then just like go out. If I didn't have more missions like in my inventory already, then I would have like I would be forced to go to Fort Tarsus and endure the longest load, I think. So going to the launch bay, it's like, okay, hit the launch bay. Loads faster than Fort Tarsus, but then you get there, and sometimes it's not quite right. A few times I would like load there, and it's like, okay, first I'm going to go to the forge here, which also loads faster because I guess the loading back and forth in the launch bay is just quicker because there's less stuff. I would launch, try to get into the forge. Like, oh, button's not working. Oh, it's not loading. Oh, it's loading. And it kicked me back to the launch bay. Okay, so I can't access my forge. Well, then forget it. You know, I'll just keep the same equipment, go on the next mission. Run up to the area where the like mission launcher button is supposed to be, and it's not there. And I turn around, and there's like a bunch of players running around. It's like, it's not just me. Like, everyone is stuck here, and no one knows what to do because the launch button is gone.
Oh, dear. Oh dear!
Time to go back to Fort Tarsus. So I would like go back, and then you know, long like, time there.
Just doing patrols of Destiny can sometimes make me rage. If I had like any type of delay issues, that would just boil over for sure.
It was really bad, but since then they have patched it already, and the load times are like a lot shorter. So now I avoid the launch bay because that one has broken the most times. I always go back to Fort Tarsus, and the load time, while still there, is far more bearable now.
Jeez.
Then there is the other issue. So sometimes missions glitch out, and you don't really know why. There's been a few times. The funniest one was. You can do a thing called quick play. And in theory, quick play is supposed to be like, oh, you know, if someone dropped out of someone else's game, like they thought it was too hard or whatever. Well, I'll get to that. So if
wait,
there's
like
a...
Wait, what?
Hmm?
No, because you said if somebody dropped out because they thought it was too hard. But no.
Right. So like quick play is basically you are reinforcing an existing squad out there, you know, mid mission, and then like helping them complete missions. It's like, in theory, you know, that sounds really good. And there's actually a like end game quest where you have to do 25 of these. And I was like, yeah, I want to go help people, so I'm going to do quick play. And I just like kept doing quick play. The problem with quick play is that it doesn't seem like people are dropping out of games because they're too hard most of the time. Most of the time, they're dropping out of games because that game broke and there's no way to progress. And so, like, the funniest one, I loaded into a game and they were like fighting these like two enemy spawners, essentially. Like, a gateway will open and it spawns enemies. And what's supposed to happen is you beat all those enemies and then the mission progresses on to the next part. This time, it never ended. The spawners just kept spawning more enemies. And I must have spent like half an hour with these three other people just fighting the same enemies that kept spawning out of these spawners. And like, I don't know why I did it. I like the combat, but I was also sort of like, this is definitely not what is supposed to be happening. This is just, there's no end. And then, so I got the idea, okay, I'm going to like kill myself. And then hopefully everyone else will kill themselves. And then like the mission will restart from the checkpoint. And then maybe we can like finish it. But I guess they did not understand what I was doing. And also I was kind of high level and it was like very hard for the enemies to kill me. And so people started like dropping out of the mission only to be replaced by other people reinforcing the mission.
Oh no.
It was just like this endless cycle of like being like loaded into missions that can never be completed. Yeah, that happened to me at a different point where I loaded one. I got in and it was at the last boss area, except the gate wouldn't open. And so people were like dropping out of that one and I would be sitting there and watching people like cycle into it to refill those spots. Like, no, like, the servers need some sort of marker on missions where it's like, this one is borked. Don't stop sending people to it.
This one is borked.
And a few times, like, doing quick play, like, I think three in a row is probably the most that I had to endure. It was just like, I would load into a mission, like, what's going on? It's like, oh, this is one of the broken ones. All right, I'm leaving. And then you try to load into another one. These would not be that big an issue if, like, a lot of the issues, I feel like, would be less of an issue if the load times were shorter. If the load times could get, you know, short enough, then reloading, it's annoying, but it's not like, oh, now I gotta spend like 10 minutes to do another thing, to get out and then get back into another thing. Yeah, so when I say broken, I think fundamentally the game is good. It's just that there are major annoyances right now. So, yes. Tekken, I think you would like it.
I don't know if I'm convinced.
But not now.
Nothing you said.
I don't think like... you would like it now.
Yes, let's see. If all these issues get resolved, maybe, because it's like, yeah, that's, yeah, no, how about just wait until it's fixed?
That's what I was saying. I was like, I feel like later down the line, it'll probably be a great game, but for the time being, I don't.
I think, like, the story stuff is interesting enough. It's like that kind of story. The sort of characters are interesting, at least. And then, like, the combat, I think, is really fun and interesting. But then, yeah, it's, like, kind of broken right now. And that's, I think that's the worst part of it. It's just, like, technically frustrating to deal with.
Hmm.
What is that? I hear a, like, spinning noise.
Spinning noise?
Maybe. I hear it too. I don't know what it is. I'm going to guess it's RPG's controller.
Oh.
But I'm not doing anything.
Oh. Well, I don't know what it is then.
That's weird.
That is weird. Maybe it's something Tekken's doing and he doesn't know he's doing it.
That's no. Because it's doing it when I'm not doing when I'm not doing anything, it's doing it. Yeah, I can hear it.
Well, I don't know what spinning thing he's talking about, so who knows? Who knows?
Alrighty. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Tekken, stop spinning.
I'm not spinning.
But yeah, Anthem, I think, is good if they make it less frustrating. Let's do our quick RRR then.
Yay!
We'll leave this at no conclusion. Or definitely not now.
Yeah, I feel like down the line it might actually be something worth picking up, but I feel like currently it's probably like kind of like gonna end up like how vanilla Destiny was until they like started adding expansions and stuff, and it's like, oh, okay, there's actually some meat in this steak sandwich.
I don't even think that's the case. Like, it doesn't feel that way to me. You started repeating stuff very quickly with Destiny. And even Destiny 2, I think, was like that too. But this one, it doesn't feel like there's quite as much recycled quite as quickly.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, they also put out that roadmap, and I was like, that was just like instant alarm bells in my brain of just like, this is way too similar, too soon, too much, just not, nope. Too close.
I hope, so my experience is I've played everything in the game. There's I think one dialogue tree in the main hub world that I haven't done yet, but I've done all of those. I've played every mission. I guess the only thing that happened that I haven't seen is there was a major cutscene in the middle of the game where I blame the game. Like, the game messed up, and so I didn't see the cutscene until I exited out of the game and then came back, and they played the aftermath cutscene where they talked about the cutscene that I missed. And so I imagine it was really cool the way they described it, but I was just like, that's very sad. Like, I've been spoiled by the game itself. So yeah, having played everything and then done all the strongholds, there's actually only two strongholds. Like, the third stronghold is basically the last mission of the game, except now you can play it on super difficult, and it plays out a little bit differently, like without the cutscenes essentially. So I've played those three on the first grandmaster level, and then so having done all of that, it felt like it was a pretty decent amount of game. And then seeing the roadmap was like, oh, it is good to see that there will be new story mission stuff so quickly. Although I don't know if that's what it's going to be. It just says Legendary Missions 1. So it'll be interesting to see if they... You know, I think the problem with a lot of... Like, when you hear live game service, you feel like, oh, it's going to change a lot and frequently. And that just didn't happen in the ones that we've played so far. And so if this one is able to do that, I think that would be really cool. But yeah, we don't know yet. I hope.
Because I do want to get it, but at the same time, I've been burned in the past, so. But unlike Tekken, I knew how to get out and stay out, so.
It does. It reminds me more of, like, Monster Hunter, you know, you are playing the same things over and over as well. And it's like, well, why is that more bearable to me than, like, Destiny playing the same things over and over? And it's like, I'm not really sure.
Because it's fun.
I think, yeah. Like, is it because, like, it's just more fun to play? Whereas, like, first-person shooter is very, like, intense for me. Like, it's, like, a lot of focus required. And so, yeah, Monster Hunter is, like, I don't know if it's easier, but it's, like, less intense and stressful. And then this is, like, less intense and stressful. And so playing the strong, like, I've played the strongholds a lot. But they're just, like, constantly fun so far. Guess we will see. Okay, so RRR. We're going to do a little differently this week, this month to try. We're going to do weekly ones. And that way we can do like weekly middle segments more often. So this will run, well, March 1st, there's a bunch of games coming out, which is a Friday. And then I think we don't, the next show is the 6th. So we'll do March 1st and March 5th.
My birthday!
Oh, is it?
Birthday is on the 5th, yes.
I gotta pull up releases.com.
Wait, you weren't already prepared for that? Oh my goodness, Tropical.
Why did I did the 1st, and then I was like, wait a minute, the 1st is in a Tuesday? I was like, oh shoot, I messed up. I messed up my preparation.
The 1st is on a Friday this month, so enjoy.
I don't know why so many games are coming out on the 1st.
Or Fridays in general. I've noticed that a couple of games have been doing that recently. I don't know if that's going to end up being the new release day for things. And then they're going to be like, Tuesday, sorry, it's time for change.
No.
So we'll see.
All right. So also a bit different. I'm just going to do the descriptions because oftentimes it is pretty obvious we don't know what they are.
We don't. We really don't.
So, you know, it'll speed it up a little bit too. So, here we go. Starting March 1st. First one is called Creepy Road. The game tells a story of an eccentric driver, Flint.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. But if it's a driver, then there's a good chance it's some type of racing game of some sort. I don't think I want this.
Yeah, maybe if it was like a survival horror racing or driving game, maybe. But yeah, just off of that, no thanks.
All right. Next is Awesome P. Awesome P.
Gross.
P. P. E. A. P.
Oh. Well, they should have, you should have specified that before you said it.
Awesome P is a classic run and jump platformer where you must
play as the P. I'm assuming.
I'm
awesome P.
Going Awesome P. What were they thinking? What were they thinking?
Someone going into GameStop. Do you guys have the Awesome P? It's like,
you've just been a flipping awesome vegetable, but you know, get into the game. And it's like the P guys. We're talking about the P.
Oh dear.
Vegetable. Jeez. Gosh.
Oh dear.
Terrible.
Yeah, probably a no on that one. Then Dead or Alive 6 comes out March 1st.
I don't play Jiggle Fighter.
I don't play them either, so yeah.
Okay. Then Doom and Destiny. Four nerds drawn into a fantasy world and mistaken for...
Wait, what is this called?
Doom and Destiny.
It has Destiny in the title, so no.
No.
All right. Then Toe Jam and Earl, Back in the Groove.
I'm considering it, but I'll probably just get it later down the line because I'll be playing something else that week.
It depends on the style that they did it. Because I mean, I played both of the other Toljambanola games, but I think I preferred Panic on Funkatron more than I did the original, like,
walk kind of randomly
walk around the, yeah. So I think it might depend on how they did this one.
All right. Then we got Vertigo Home. Vertigo Home is an endless runner set in a 90s.
Nope. I don't like endless runners, so add it to the list of roguelikes and endless
runners and games sports that games. Contain the word Destiny.
Also that.
Oh, and sports games, right. Then the Arc Slinger. When the world is in danger, the people turn to...
No, do it in your movie announcer voice.
When the world that sounds is like a in movie danger, answer. The people turn to...
Much better, but also no. Nah, do it. Because Arc Slinger sounds like a shooter of some sort.
I was going to say, this does sound kind of generic. Mm. It's like also like what kind of shooter are we talking about? 2D shooter? 3D shooter? Horizontal? Vertical? Mm-hmm. Top down?
You would want the top down.
The specifics. Genre is VR shooter.
Oh, well, there goes that.
VR shooter.
And then finally, Crash Dummy. The evil Detroit has kidnapped MIA, the advisor's daughter. You.
Oh, man. Is this like the old school Crash Dummies?
It says it's an action game.
Pass. That just seems weird. Like, why would you? Never mind. You know what? Never mind. I'm not going to ask.
Nah.
Nah. All right. Then we move on to March 5th.
Oh, yeah.
Tuesday. The first one is The Occupation, a first-person politically driven narrative game set in the Northwest.
I did not know this game existed.
There's a lot of words going on there. A lot of words going on.
Sign me up. It sounds award-winning, possibly.
Says it's narrative-driven, so I think I might be... Wait, what's the genre for it, though?
Thrill ride through and story time.
Genre says adventure.
I might be interested in this.
Oh, good job. The Occupation is the first game that's gotten a intriguing this week. next one is Eternity, the Last Unicorn. Eternity, what? The Last Unicorn is a fully featured action RPG inspired.
What? Whoa, 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 wait. Whoa, what's happening? What's happening right now?
I didn't hear about this game at E3.
Neither did I, but it's an action RPG with the unicorn, so I mean, yeah, I'm going to buy it.
Oh, number two, Eternity, the Last Unicorn.
Action RPG about unicorns. Everybody's fantasy.
Next one is Beat Cop. New York, more like a beast than a city. Explore its darkest.
This almost sounds like an adventure game too, though.
It does say adventure.
Is it like a mystery game? Do I get to solve a mystery?
Oh, yes. You know, now we're like, we're getting Wolf Among Us anytime soon, just so.
That's true. Or at all. So there's that.
Yes, Beat Cop?
I might. I mean, it sounds interesting. I mean, maybe it's an adventure game. You might solve a mystery. You might, you know, get promoted. And it's like in the sequel, you're like a super private eye guy person. Private eye.
The next game is called Detective.
Basically, yes. They're very lazy with the namings. But I mean, you know, it's hard. Naming stuff is hard.
So far, 3 for 3, March 5th, sounding interesting enough, bringing the A game that day. The next one is Attack of the Earthlings, a Attack of the Earthlings combines turn-based combat and...
Turn-based combat? I was like, that's a stupid happening? Name. This game's going to be stupid. And it's like, turn-based combat, sci-fi.
Is it an RPG of some sort? Another
Does
one?
Does it take place in space?
Are there space unicorns?
It says it's a strategy game.
Turn-based strategy.
Oh my goodness.
Could it be People XCOM?
Oh my goodness, can you imagine? Like, you're the aliens and now it's like, oh my gosh, all these people are coming out of nowhere. What's happening? That would be interesting, though, to play on the side of the aliens. It's like, we're minding our own business. All of a sudden, these Earthlings just showed up and start wrecking our crap. I'll try to drink my tea. So now, we strike back.
Wow, March 5th. Pretty exciting so far. Aw. The next one is Move or Die. Move or Die is a very fast-paced party game with up to four players.
I mean, I actually like party games, but as I mentioned before, Mario Party or bust, guys.
Sorry, Move or Die. You broke the streak.
Yeah, there's a certain age range for party games, and I'm not in it anymore. So, yeah, pass.
Crimson Keep, an action RPG roguelike with procedural dungeon layouts.
Oh, it would have been fine right up until that last part.
Chung, cha-chung.
Right up until that last part. You know how we feel about roguelikes, people. Why? Why would you do this?
Then we got Left Alive, a new mech-based action shooter from veteran developers.
Yeah, Square Enix is publishing this one.
Okay, I saw gameplay of this, and there was a lot of stealthiness and sneaking around. It did not look like a mech shooter to me.
There's mechs in the trailers. That's about all I saw, but I haven't.
Yeah, seen it looked like a third person, like something. I was like, this does not look like the game I thought it was. I don't know what's going on here, but also looks like a third person Zelda game, so maybe.
I can't do it because there's stealth involved, so you know how that goes.
Yeah, so I was like, first, I was actually not playing this game.
I was actually interested when they first announced it. I was like, ooh, mechs! Ooh, Square Enix! And then I saw the gameplay trailer. I was like, oh, well. That was that plan. It's fine. I'm just not allowed to be happy.
Last one is RBI Baseball 19. RBA Baseball 19 takes the field with more additions and...
Just no.
So
like maybe if you were Super Mega Baseball, but you're not Super Mega Baseball.
So four interesting and four one or four interesting, three not interesting, and one maybe for March 5th. And one Toe Jam and Earl maybe March 1st.
Possibly.
It's not a bad collection.
Devil May Cry has come out the week after, so I mean,
yep. Pretty soon.
Let's see.
So that's the new RR. Simple, not simple, quicker to the point. yeah, that's probably going to be a new weekly thing. So next week, I will get the right ones prepared.
Joy, everyone.
On to the news. Where do we want to start? Less fun stuff? More fun
stuff? Well, obviously. You don't want the super fun stuff to come first? First, yeah, because then we have to talk about the bad stuff, and then it's going to be sad. And everybody's going to be like, why? Why would you guys do that? Oh my gosh, you're the worst. All right. And then, you know, we don't want that.
We'll start out with a middle sort of one. Reggie is retiring from Nintendo.
No!
April 15th will be his last day. He they posted a like goodbye video for him on Nintendo's YouTube, where he talked about how he still really loves Nintendo and hopes everyone still loves Nintendo. And then somehow he's being replaced by a guy named Doug Bowser.
By someone named Bowser.
Amazing.
Because Nintendo has learned nothing.
They're like, no, this guy, his name's Bowser. I'm sure he's trustworthy.
That's, yeah, that's very insane. Speaking of heads of company, there was a report that came out, or a report by like a group, I think it's called USO. They make this report about overpaid CEOs and Activision and EA showed up as like 45th and 98th, I think, on the list.
Of course they made the list, because why wouldn't they have?
Yeah, so their methodology is basically they take like the ratio between the CEO's pay and the average worker at their company, and then there's factors that they take into considerations, like how many, the percentage of like shareholder votes that the CEO pay package got, and shareholder return, and all these things. And they found that, so Bobby Kotick, his salary is reported to be $28 to $29 million, 306 Jeez. Times more than the average Activision staff member.
That is ridiculous.
92% of shareholders voted for the package, but they believe it's too high by $12,835,000.
Oh, is that all?
EA's Andrew Wilson, his pay is estimated to be somewhere around $20 million, which is 371 times more than the average EA employee. Jeez. And they reckon that is like, oh, sorry, no, his pay is almost $36 million. And they think it's around $20 million too much.
He makes more than Bobby Kotick? Wow.
Pretty crazy.
What a world.
I mean, not like that's like, let's be honest here though. It's like neither salary is exactly small, so
I'm just saying, it's like Activision's games usually outsell EA's games anyway, so it's like, that's weird. But I mean, that means that EA makes more of them, you know, but Activision's, you know, all about churning out those moneymakers, all two of them every year.
Money.
It's really insane. It's funny because, like, even if you subtract the excess, the amount that this group believes is in excess, they would still be making like $15 million a year.
That's what I was saying. I'm like, because they're like, oh, we believe it's $20 million. I was like, I mean, like,
Point of comparison, the average CEO to worker ratio at S&P 500 companies is 142 to 1.
I guess that's so better.
1%, 1%.
Crazy, that's crazy.
Why we have it.
The rest of this, so Dreams, they announced, is getting early access, an early access release in the spring. For $29.99, you'll be able to get all the creation tools. They'll be adding more tutorials, arcade levels, and assets, but it won't be the full game. They're going to apparently use this to sort of gauge where they should focus their efforts on more development. So I guess we don't know when the full game is going to be coming out, but if you want to be a Dreams creator, you'll be able to do that sooner, I think, than most people imagined, which is in the spring. So, cool. PlayStation Plus games have been announced for the next month, from March 5th to April 1st. You'll be able to download Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered.
Speaking of Activision.
And The Witness.
Why does The Witness sound familiar? Did that? What was that?
It's a launch game. Well, not a launch game, but it was in the launch window by the Braid dude.
Oh, yeah, that's
a cool thing. All it is puzzles.
Yep. An open world puzzle game.
And everybody was like tweeting about it. Like, I'm stuck on this puzzle. This is where I'm stuck at. Oh, stuck on this one now.
So that will be interesting. Yeah, reminder, this is the last month that you can get PS3 and PS Vita games on Plus. So that's why next month's list is so short. And I guess, you know, either they're not going to add anything to make up for the perceived loss, or it's just like, not this month. It'll come sometime down the line.
Yeah, I'm curious as to what they're going to do, because I was wondering about that since this is already the month where it's supposed to be happening.
Yeah, so what do you think they're going to do? Do you think they'll do anything? Do you think they'll just be like, this is how it is now?
This is your life. Games. Enjoy. I think
it's going to be either that, or they might add a third game just to be like, you know what? You get one more extra because we like making our users happy this generation. And this is all you're effing getting. So now ask everything else after this year effing efforts. You're stuck. We made the price 10 bucks more and we took away all your games. Hey, I like them apples. PlayStation.
Well, that's true. They did increase the price. I forgot about that.
They also increased the like cloud storage space, but I don't think in people's minds that's really going to make up the loss of the four it games.
Yeah, because I don't think I use the cloud.
Would you rather have cloud storage or free games, Tropical? Most people would say free games. We all know how people like free stuff.
Yep.
Not paid for anything and getting their things for nothing.
Free stuff is nice. I mean, he's not wrong.
Nope.
He's not wrong.
That's why Xbox copied PlayStation and took Free Games Plus. Yeah. They're like, hey, PlayStation's doing it. It's a success. People like this. We should do the same thing. And they did.
And they're still alive.
There was some next gen console talk this past 2 weeks. That seemed more credible than usual, since it was like heavily republished. I guess Microsoft is going to be showing two new Xboxes at E3 this year.
Didn't they just release the most powerful Xbox ever?
Yeah, I had already gone down that road. I went down that road already. We've already like covered it. I told you that was going to happen. They're going to be like, LOLs. We just spent all this monies and we have the even more most powerful console to ever be released into the video game world. Moo ha ha ha. But we're also going to release two versions of that. And one is going to be the even more powerfulest console ever.
Moo ha ha ha.
Basically, and because we're all about shooting ourselves in the foot here at Microsoft Xbox Land, it's coming out next year. 12 more months to enjoy the Xbox One, and before it's completely obsolete, not more as powerful as the most powerful ever.
And we're going to force all our developers to make games for all of the consoles anyway, limiting the power of the good ones. So it's fine. Enjoy while we continue shooting ourselves in the foot. Microsoft.
Well, I think it was part of that report. So the two that they're revealing, it's going to be like a traditional higher cost next generation console. And then one that is like a streaming box or something like that.
Thing that no one asked for.
But yeah, they also mentioned that Xbox Game Pass may be coming to Switch.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was weird.
So you'd be streaming Xbox One games onto your Switch. And I guess like Microsoft and Nintendo are pretty friendly these days. So
I wonder how the quality of these games are going to be, though, because I mean,
well, this would be like third generation game streaming. So probably pretty decent by now.
Yeah, but
hard to say.
but it won't be in 4K like on the Xbox One or the next most powerful Xbox ever. That's going to be on C3.
Lowls.
On the PlayStation side, there was talk of like some, it was a Japanese site reported that their Sony had patented a way for chips to pretend to be other chips. That is technically entirely wrong, but the implication is that
I was like, is that how that works? I don't understand.
Now I tried to look it up, but I was like, I can't find anywhere with an explanation that I can understand. It's something like processor ID spoofing. So like the basic idea is that it would allow the potential PlayStation 5 to play all past PlayStation games.
Pretending to be those consoles, basically.
Yeah, it like pretends to be those consoles when it comes in contact with their software. I don't know. But
that sounds possible?
Too good to be true. And also, like, since I couldn't find out how that works or if there's like any examples of that being something that exists, like, I have no idea. But the patent is apparently real because this has been, you know, also widely re-reported. What was the other one? There was one that said that it cast doubt on everyone thinking that the PS5 is going to come out in 2020. And some analyst wrote up a thing. It's like, no, there's like too many games coming out for PS4. Like, there's no way they're going to be like, we got all these games coming out for PS4, but hey, here's a new console. Like, they don't want to be competing with themselves. And so that analyst is like, it's going to be 2021 at the earliest. I hope so. I hope that's right. That's what I've been thinking, but I have been doubting myself recently.
Good. Doubt yourself.
No. And then finally, today there was a Nintendo Direct about the new Pokemon games.
Woo!
The main Pokemon RPG series, Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield, coming out in late 2019. They look okay. they're like better looking. Someone told me they were like Switch level graphics for the 3DS Pokemon games. I don't know. I haven't actually played them. Clearly, I don't know anything about Pokemon because I wrote down three new starters. There was like a green monkey.
His name is Grokey. It's called Scorch Bunny.
And a blue.
Oh my goodness, it's called Shovel or something like that. Stop. Make sure you know their names the next time.
Oh man,
my favorite was like someone made a mock-up. It's like the three new Pokemon look like generic like bagged cereal mascots.
Rude.
But it seemed like each of them was popular enough, so I guess that worked out. Like that's Grokey, what you want to do, right?
Grokey wasn't. No one wants the grass monkey.
I saw people going like, oh, yeah, I want the grass monkey.
Yeah, all three of them. But the normal people, the fight came down between the bunny and the lizard. No one cares about the monkey.
Oh, my gosh.
And your mother will never love you, monkey. Your mother. So, yeah.
Yeah. New Pokemon.
Sword and Shield. Apparently this one's going to be set in jolly old England, so this should be fun.
Jolly good.
I thought it was in some region.
Jolly bad.
Well, regions are always like based off of real life location kind of things. Kind of like Sun and Moon being like the Hawaii type deal and all that kind of stuff. That.
The other joke I saw was if they set one in rural America, will it be called Pokemon Sunshine and Pokemon Moonshine?
I get it. It's because moonshine is alcohol. Kids love alcohol. It's what they crave. So enjoy.
Yes. Clearly, I have not played any Pokemon games. Otherwise, I would have been more like, ooh, this is a thing, and this is a thing. And instead, I was just like, let's see what other people are saying.
I'm excited. Because reasons.
Cool. And that's the news that I saw and thought was like what I wanted to talk about. There was actually like crazier messed up stories, but I was like, I don't want to talk about those.
Like what? Oh, I'm curious.
Well, there was the one where like Skybound cut ties with Overkill over the Walking Dead game.
Oh yeah, that got canceled, didn't it?
Yeah.
Today.
Like, so originally Overkill released The Walking Dead on Steam and it was like poorly received, and they were like, "Oh no, that's bad. We're going out of business." And there was that thing where like they lost their company head or something, and the Swedish authorities raided them for insider trading.
Wow, I did not read the entire story. So the game account.
Neither did I. I was just, oh dear.
Wow.
And then, then they postponed the console releases indefinitely, but they're like, no, they're not canceled. Like, they're coming out. It's just that later at some point that we don't know yet. And now Skybound, who owns like The Walking Dead and stuff, they're like, nope. We're not helping you guys. We're not working on this anymore. And so now the console releases are canceled. And they're going to pull the game from Steam. Although they're trying to come up with a way to give like current owners year 2 content, which was promised and was part of like a deluxe edition. So I guess they have to do it or something. I don't know.
What?
Anyway, it's kind of a disaster. And then the other one was THQ Nordic.
Oh yeah, that was a weird story.
Did an AMA on 8chan, which is the like worst version of 4chan, which is somehow
possible. Isn't 4chan already like bad?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. I don't understand. Why would they do that? They're like, I understand that what we're doing is the worst, but let's do it anyway because reasons.
Yeah, like even the post, THQ Nordic's post was like, for some reason we're doing an AMA on 8chan. It was like, what?
Because I honestly didn't even know it existed until you just said that. So. Yeah.
There's apparently a more hardcore version. In more ways than one, because it's been associated with like all the worst stuff, child pornography.
Oh gosh. you were not kidding about how bad this was.
And white supremacy, and it's just like,
oh, it continues. Why? Oh god.
Why did they do this? And the guy was like, oh, because they approached us, you know, really kindly and stuff. And one dude was like, oh, we'll handle all the worst stuff, so don't worry about that.
Hey, guys.
And then they're like, oh, we're sorry. We didn't know about them. It's like, oh, yeah, you didn't know about them?
I mean, the thing is called 8chan. You already know 4chan is a dumpster fire wire and blazes. Would you think this is any better? Like, you can't be that stupid.
So, yeah. Really extreme. And now look, now we've left the news in this place, so we can't do that. So I guess I'll bring in the last one that I can remember, which was an auction house recently sold a unopened copy of the original Super Mario Brothers for $100,000.
Totally not worth it.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. Like, it is the record for the most expensive game ever sold, beating out the previous record, which was also Super Mario Brothers, but that one sold for $30,000.
Why are people spending this much money on Super Mario Brothers? There's so many versions of it. You can get it like everywhere. So
how I saw it described was if you buy like a loose copy of Super Mario Brothers, because Super Mario Brothers is apparently the most common Nintendo game, like the most
prevalent. Yeah, like,
there's more copies of Super Mario Brothers than any other Nintendo game. And so if you buy a loose copy, it's like a few dollars. If you get one with the box and manual, then you're looking at like $50 or so. But then as the condition of the box improves, like the the value of the game just gets more and more. And, you know, we thought the peak was at 30,000. But then this one, what makes it special is apparently most copies of Super Mario Brothers, if they're still new and mint, they are shrink-wrapped. And this is how they sold them, except for the first run of Super Mario Brothers. And if you remember, maybe not from personal experience, but from reading about it, in 1986, I think, when they first brought the NES to America, it wasn't released everywhere. They just did it in a small...
Oh, toy stores.
It was just in New York and Los Angeles. So it wasn't countrywide yet. They just like released it in two places as sort of a test run. And at that time, they released Super Mario Brothers. But instead of shrink-wrapped, the original ones just had a little black foil sticker on the top that like sealed it. And this copy that sold is apparently the only known existing copy that still has the seal on it from that original first run. And I guess that's really valuable to somebody.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
This was actually part of a press release from the auction house that sold it. And so the assumption is, oh, they did this press release because they expect to be doing more business in auctioning rare video games. And they fully expect that someday we will see the $1 million video game. I don't know. You know, this one sounds pretty rare. It may be one of a kind. So and that was only 100,000. Like, what other... Can you think of maybe an unreleased game of some sort? I don't know. $1 million is a lot.
Yeah, it is.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, just like it doesn't make any sense because like you just buy a digital copy of that for like nothing, and it's like why would you buy that for hundreds of thousands of dollars? Like I don't really get it.
To play it,
doing it wrong, man.
It's true because you wouldn't
doing
be
it wrong.
It. Yeah,
doing it wrong
and
all
sealed or whatever
across the board.
I bought a $100,000 copy of Super Mario Brothers. Now it's time to break the seal and finally play this game.
Gosh.
Oh my gosh.
I spent so much. Obviously, I gotta open it.
I don't think that's what that's supposed to do, but okay. Teach his own.
Yeah, there we go. That's a better place to end the news on. I'm gonna end it.
I guess. People being stupid with their money? Yeah, you're right.
I mean, you didn't want to end it on the other one.
I did. This is the darkest timeline possible. People need to know. People need to know. There is no more happiness. Only Zool.
Oh, man.
Cool. So, anyways, check us out on aimlesspodcast.com to download the episodes and then also subscribe to the YouTube channel. There's a Twitch. There's a place on Twitter that you can follow us, probably Aimless Podcast, because I actually don't remember right now. And then Facebook, not so much. So we'll see.
Okie dokie. Anything to say before we sign off for RPG? Well, I forgot to switch the image to the Aimless logo, that entire news section. Oh, well. It's been on Anthem this entire time. I've been playing Monster Hunter, sorry.
People are gonna think we like Anthem.
I do like Anthem.
He doesn't really count though. He likes everything. He's like,
this is true. So at least you know that Anthem is not super bad.
Like, because it has soul. I don't know how the song works. Sorry, it's been a long year. Leave me alone.
Just leave me alone, guys. Leave me alone, okay? It's been a long year.
Did you say something, RPG?
No. Let's see. I guess the world don't move to the beat of just one stroke. What might be right for you might not right be something for some. I don't know. I don't know the words. I'm sorry, guys. Beat of a
stroke?
No, like, I don't know. Shut up.
That sounds like something I would say.
I mean, listen, okay? Listen. I don't know, man. I was just doing the Different Strokes theme song.
Anything to say before we start off Tropical?
Nope.
Okay, so yeah. Aimless Babel Z, until you hear or see from us again, we're now signing off. Mm-hmm.